FMDJ, yo, it's midday, so here's your fix. Just like we're chemistin', consuming this chocolate check mix. Back harder than ever, going 4 hours strong. I still haven't perfected, looking like I'm working with a song. How many unrelated observations can Rip make before Sarah stops his ass for going over the break? And I don't even bother trying to call the show at all. Cause if my comments ain't funny, Rick will be losing my call. Never mind that they might not even answer the phone. Cause Scotty just hung over from being out freaking alone. I'm pretty glad my thoughts and Tim Riley's are in the same place. Cause we both need work. And avoid the human race. When I'm not stealing calls from in front of Rich Place, I'm an old acquaintance searching for Sarah on my face. So put your hands together for the man and cast the check. Rick Emerson, Bitches Radio, Gangsta X.
Radio Gangsta
with Tim Brown, Gangsta and Sarah X.
Radio Gangsta.
He's the host of the folks that cast the check.
Radio Gangsta
with Tim Brown, Gangsta and Sarah X.
Radio Gangsta.
Are we not playing the shilling one today?
I forgot. You can say it, though.
Right, let me, and now, let me see if I can do it from memory. Let me see if I can do this just from memory here. All right. And now, from the super digital studios deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio Portland.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
I was making sure that we had that. See, it was going to be a little comedy, because I was going to mention the sponsor name, and then I was going to imply that...
If you look at me with your eyes really big and flail your arms around, I don't know what you're doing.
Sorry? See, I was going to say super digital, and then... With this. Now it doesn't even want to work now.
Fantastic.
Well done. Well done, Sarah. Well done, everybody. Let's all take a bow and go home early, shall we?
You were supposed to put this in the clock.
Shut up.
You want me to play the other one?
No.
I have it in there.
No. Too late now. Okay, play the other one.
Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Why, hello and howdy. It's 4 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of our year, the thing, the year of our, hello. I'm all thrown off now. The month of May, the year of our Lord, 2007, live from the plushly appointed, yet not only ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Didn't know what they just called it on the Miller Show? Did they just call it Oregon? Well,
they did. Here's and UFOs in Medford, I guess.
Apparently. I don't think anything that they just said about Oregon was correct. Apparently the Dennis Miller Show, they just added their 100th affiliate or something. And that's Sal. And I'm unclear about who that Sal guy even is. But they were talking about the 100th affiliate, who I guess has just been added in Medford, Oregon. And they rattled off some whole chain of facts about Medford. None of them correct. Because I don't think, to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe Nike is headquartered in Medford either. Call me, maybe I've missed something, but I don't believe that's the case. Well, hello there. We are here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of our whimsicality today, if you'd like to engage with us in a telephonic sense, in a super telepsychotronic kind of way. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-P-by-70. Yes. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. if you'd like to email us as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Or you can call us at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It is Friday. Big program today. In fact, here's the thing. I think she's actually gone at the moment. But Allison Arngrim, TV's Nellie Olson. And by the way, to answer everybody's questions, I am not going to be introducing that. We're not going to be playing the Little House on the Prairie theme.
We're not?
Scotty totally... No. F that. Scotty, because I'm sure that's what she
Maybe
wants.
Maybe she has another project that she's worked on. But I should find the theme song for that.
The Match
I'm
Game?
Doing it.
We play something from the Match Game. What else is... we can play something from... we can play something from the Hollywood Squares Hour. All right. She was also in the Love Boat in Fantasy Island. She totally introduced her with the Love Boat theme. In any event, so Allison Arngrim is going to be on the show later on this hour. She was in the kitchen earlier. She was here early. Apparently, somebody misinformed her about the relative the spatial relations, the relative distances between the radio station and other places she had to go in her hotel, which I guess is just like a block away. So somebody, I forget who it was, who pointed this out. It might have even been you. There's a big black car in the parking lot. This at like 10:30 in the morning, and I said, well.
Clearly, you know, Dan Bovet came in here, and he's like, are you expecting somebody?
Are you expecting someone from Little House on the Prairie?
Limo.
So, in any event, well, we'll get to that here in a second. Allison Arngrim is going to be on the program later on this hour. CNN Radio Bob correspondent Bob Costantini will be joining us from the Hill later on as well. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio is going to be in the studio with us. We have the Rick Emerson big pile of stuff we're going to be getting to today. The whole pile of... a whole pile of things that have accrued during the week. Some of which we've gotten to, most of which we have not. So we'll get to, we'll try to get through all of that stuff today. And I'm looking at it here, and it really is just like the largest pile of accumulated news. So we'll get to that at some point, probably in the 1 o'clock hour today. What else? Sometime, probably within this hour as well, we are going to be choosing the AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week. I think it's a pair of Carlin tickets. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Let me check. It is. It is a pair of tickets to see George Carlin tonight at the Schnitzer, along with I think there's some other swag. I think it's like a station shirt and whatnot. So that is going to be sometime this hour. We will announce the AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week. If ye have not signed up, you really ought to do that. It's at 970.am. That's where you can do that. 970.am. It's 503-733-2970. That is all coming up, as well as we got the top five we're going to try to get to today. We have this terrible song that somebody sent us. Something, do you have the David Hasselhoff sound? Are we going to be talking about Parent of the Year nominee David Hasselhoff? You've seen the thing I'm talking about, right?
I haven't watched the video, but I read it.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, so we'll get to that. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah F. Dillon. Hello, and how are you?
Hello, I'm excited. I haven't seen her yet. So I was in here.
TV's Nellie Olson, Allison Arngrim.
Yes.
Doing what my wife refers to as her hit show, Prairie Whore, tonight at CC Slaughter's. Who here has been to the CC Slaughter's webpage? Why, I have. Let me just tell you. This is the best webpage I've ever been to in my life. You go to the CC Slaughter's webpage, and I'll have you drop the mono bed here in just a second, sir. This is where Allison Arngrim is going to be performing tonight, and so I'm there because my wife is going to see her show tonight. She's going to see Prairie Bitch, which is Allison's show. And so my wife is like, hey, what time does the show start? I want to make sure she's going with this guy she works with. She's like, I want to make sure that we're not late. Can you let me know what time the show starts? And I said, yeah, I'll go to the webpage. Hold on. And so the door to my office is wide open. I go to the website, and it's, let me see if I could just bring this up here on my computer. When you go to the CC Slaughter's website, the first thing you see is, it's not actually explicit in any way, but it is sort of the outlines of two muscular, I believe, nude and quite possibly greased men holding up like a huge golden ring. In which shows up, you know, the information about whatever's happening at the place tonight. And then this is the music that starts playing in the background. This is when you go to the CC Slaughter's webpage, which is just fantastic. I'm going to make our page do this. I'm going to drop the level on the mono bed here for a second. We'll see if this will...
Let's see if this will load. This is the CC Slaughter's nightclub and lounge webpage in Portland, Oregon. Let's see if this.
There you go. Fantastic. And then it's just, the big muscled buttocks of two men on the screen.
Seriously?
Seriously, it's fantastic. So there you go. I just want to have this be my intro music every time I walk into a room.
This is awesome.
Every time I go anywhere.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Thanks so much. I'll go ahead and turn this back down.
We should just keep this.
All right, I'm turning it down. All right, there you go.
Thanks. CCSlaughters.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's 503-733-2970. That kind of does tie in with my idea. I have this whole idea for a sitcom gimmick. And it would be sort of like in that John Cusack movie, Better Off Dead, which is, you know, that movie Better Off Dead, he has a little brother Badger who's constantly working in his room on various space-age devices, and he builds the rocket at the end to blast out the roof of the house. He's got the gun that he's building and so forth. I have this fantastic idea for a sitcom, but the gimmick is, it's a whole bunch of dudes who live together in kind of a dude house. Not really a frat, but they're all, you know, they all live like in a dude house. But there's this one room in the house, and this is just a regular house on a regular old plain suburban street, just a run-of-the-mill split level. But there's this one room in the house in which a full-on big screaming rave is always happening. So it'll be like some guy, you know, and he's like getting up, and he's going to the kitchen, his bathrobe, and he's got like a cup of coffee, he's got orange juice, he's reading the morning paper. And then somebody comes out of like the side bedroom, and in the bedroom, you just see like pulsating lights and a glowing disco ball and about 700 people inside, and then this pounding techno music wafts into the hallway. And then the door just closes again. For no readily apparent reason, and the underpinnings of which are never explained. There's always just a gigantic rave going on in the house. There you go. That's my sitcom idea. Feel free just to take that and rub it in. 503-733-2970. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
Here's the follow-up. Remember those two vicious vixens who robbed a Vancouver man in his own home?
Do I ever.
Well, apparently they offered him $6 for $100 before they did so, and he declined. An LSU student is being held on $1 million bail after threatening to kill Hillary. Ima says, I don't want $40 million after all. I'll take $120 million from CBS, thank you. And a Scappoose gal is named Playboy's Playmate of the Year. We'll also have footage of David Hasselhoff's alcoholic rehab.
Jesus.
It's making the rounds. He's lying on the floor, incoherently eating a hamburger, yep, as his family begs him to stop.
The best part is that he's not even able to, and I think Cord from the Cord and Fat Boy show put this to bed. He said, I've never really seen somebody stagger while lying completely prone on the ground. It really is he's something that it really defies the imagination as well as laws of Newtonian physics. It really doesn't even seem possible. He's not even really fully able to eat the hamburger. That's the thing. You wouldn't think that ingesting a hamburger is one of life's more challenging activities.
Maybe it's one of those half pounders.
I think it's more than a half pound, and I think he eats more than a few of them every day. Because David looked bad. David looked real bad. He's got like the full on, like the, he's that weird stretchy gut that you get sometimes if you have at one point been very muscled. If you have been.
Oh, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. That in seeing, he's the go to example. And we've all seen, there's that hideous photograph of Arnold Schwarzenegger sort of parading topless around a beach somewhere in California. It doesn't help that he's all covered in sand, and so it makes his skin look as though it's sloughing away in large quantities. But it's just sort of a, kind of like how Sylvester Stallone looks in Rocky Balboa, just sort of an all-over body sag, as though most of the skin on the front of his sternum and thorax, it's as though some sort of skin-based landslide is happening down the front of his body, where the skin is just sort of like you always.
Because there's still muscle on top, but it's getting fat underneath, and yes, it's like pressing out.
Yes, it is. It's like you always hear that thing, which I'm not even really sure is true, but you will always hear that people will tell you that glass is actually a liquid. The glass is not a solid. It's a liquid. It just moves very slowly over time. And so sometimes you'll see old church windows that are sort of thicker at the bottom than they are at the top, and it's become very rippled. And there's this notion that the glass has sort of flowed downward over time in a very sort of aesthetically unnerving fashion. So it is with this, like glass. Glass in a church window, so is the skin of David Hasselhoff. So we'll talk about that as well. In any event, we've got calls coming in about nothing in particular.
early in the program. We'll get those here in just a second. We'll also talk to your good friend Scotty J about some various things as the program plunges forth. This is
the
day. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Hi, what's up?
Well, you might be sort of interested to know and maybe a little unnerved, but I hope not. My sister works in production with MSNBC.
Uh-huh.
And they're listening to you today.
They who?
The people that are trying to put together a new morning forum for, you know, the IMS slot.
Uh-huh.
Initially, what they were thinking was get a, you know, another sort of nationally famous type and slide him in there. But now they're looking at the smaller guys.
Yes. Well, this program is the definition of smaller guys in almost every conceivable fashion.
You know, I probably shouldn't have said anything, but it could be interesting. So do your best job today.
I'm unclear about this. Where is NBC?
MSNBC is in New York.
MSNBC is in New York. So by what mechanism do you suppose that they're listening into this program?
Well, I emailed my sister. She's actually, I've got to be somewhat careful, but she's a personal assistant to Dan Abrams, he's the big guy there at MSNBC.
Now, Dan Abrams is the guy. He was a lawyer, right? And he started
out as.
And he started out as. I remember he was doing a lot of weighing in on. It wasn't the OJ trial. It was like the. It was the Lacey Peterson trial. I think
he was kind of a field guy for a while. Their legal eagle type of guy.
Yeah.
So he's now, you know, kind of heading up that program and. I emailed her and said, you got to listen, and they're listening.
I would like to assure the people at MSNBC that in almost no way is this program compatible with the rest of your lineup, and in no way would we please or delight any of your viewers.
But you got to admit, it's kind of interesting that they're thinking of taking something, you know, that isn't huge and making it...
You know what this sounds a lot like? This sounds a lot like when a kid with one leg is, you know, he's trying to compete in some sort of sporting activity, and you're going, well, you do have to give. He's got spunk. We'll give him that. And it's like some guy.
You're gonna do great. By the way, I'll tell you her name off air if you want.
Some guy with a hook who's trying to play football.
No.
And they're going, well, you got to admire the fact that he's got moxie.
You're great. Right.
Thank you.
Too good.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold. You can talk to Scotty J. You can give him the appropriate information.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
There's plenty of great public access on Channel 11.
Apparently, if you work for MSNBC at some point, though, you could just try to shake them down for $100 million. So we, you know.
Or become in charge of MSNBC.
You suppose that MSNBC kind of like that? It's like that Weird Al movie, UHF, where one day you're pushing a broom and the next day you're the head of the network.
Then it becomes my MSNBC.
I don't even know what the MS... What does the MS and MSNBC even stand for? Monosodium or...
No, it's...
Multisyllabic?
Originally, it was a partnership between Microsoft and NBC. It was a cool thing to do.
A partnership? Does that mean that, like, once or twice a day, the network just freezes and you have to turn it off and start it up again?
Big blue screen.
We're sorry. We know you were trying to watch Money on MSNBC, but unfortunately, error message 57XJ/9 has occurred.
And then at night, they show movies.
Really? On MSNBC?
Yeah, documentaries.
Yeah.
It's whatever somebody, you know, got from Netflix. They just everybody go home.
There's a big bag of VHS tapes in the corner. I don't know, just put one of those in and hit replay. We'll be back at 6 a.m. Snuffy the janitor just recycling old headbangers ball collections.
Well, now
they
got a big empty studio.
Yeah, that is true. They got a big studio sitting there and no one to put in it. All right,
there's plenty of oxygen tanks in the back there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that we fit the MSNBC. All right, I swear to God, I was just for a minute. I swear to God, I thought you weren't wearing a shirt underneath that. Okay, here's what just happened.
The newest modeling picture for
Jesus.
With the barber.
I was really freaked out for just a second. Here's what just happened. So
I didn't know you were going to say that.
It was just freakish. All right, here's what just happened. So Sarah came in, she's wearing one of those. When did we start calling sweatshirts that have hoods on them hoodies?
I think they did that back in the hood.
I'm not. Hoodies are a new kind of. Hoodies are a new kind of snack chip for people in the bustling metropolitan areas. Anyway, so Sarah's got this zip up this zip-up black sweatshirt that she's wearing. And I mean, Tim and I are just talking about whatever inanity was coming into our heads just now. And I look over, and Sarah is unzipping her sweatshirt to take it off. Now, here's the thing, is that Sarah is wearing a shirt that, from this distance and in this light, is almost exactly the same color as her skin. And I don't know whether that's some sort of ringing endorsement about the peach-like and alabaster nature of your skin, or whether it's just that you're pale. But Sarah's taking off her sweatshirt, and that shirt is exactly the same color as your own skin. And I swear to God, for about 3 seconds, it looked like you were just taking off your sweatshirt and nuding up, and there was nothing on underneath. And, like, I was having all this weird cognitive dissonance about, why is Sarah taking off her clothes in the studio?
Well, one way from Scappoose is the Playboy Playmate of the Year.
Yes, you're trying to, you can't compete with Mrs. Scappoose. All right. Is this your attempt to endear ourselves to MSNBC? All right, 503-733-2970. We have a few other things here we'll do, and then we'll take a break. We've got Allison Arngrim is going to be joining us later on in the hour. We're also going to pick the very first in our ongoing series of AM 970 Glorious Bastards. We'll get to that as well. Our good friend Bruce Agler joining us now, the Rick Emerson Show, godlike former program director of this very fine radio show. Hello, sir.
Good morning. It would be very appropriate if MSNBC would give you one of the radio tryouts that they're doing now, because I don't know if you're aware of it, they had your morning show on the first part of
Stephanie
this
Miller. Yeah, Stephanie Miller was on Monday, Tuesday. Stephanie Miller was on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
It was interesting, though, because last week they gave a guy from Philadelphia the tryout, and he was supposed to be there for 3 days, and they liked him so well that he did the whole week.
Really?
This week they had Stephanie Miller there for 3 days, and yesterday and today they had Tucker Carlson instead. So.
Really? I mean, what is it? Tucker Carlson, one of those guys, he just keeps turning up like a bad penny that they're just going to continue. I mean, is he somebody's
cousin?
Well,
unfortunately, they signed him to some big contract, I guess, and so they really don't know what to do. So when there's nobody else to put on, they just say, Tucker, you're in now.
I don't understand how it is that Tucker, do you know anybody that's a, and look, I'm not trying to knock Tucker Carlson. I'm sure he's a fine guy. Sarah seems to find him strangely attractive.
No, I did until I heard him speak, remember?
Is it because he opened his mouth?
Yes.
Well, does Sarah think he's attractive now that he doesn't wear the bow tie?
No, I thought he was...
Him and that freakish 90-year-old wife of his?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was attractive until I heard the crap coming out of his mouth.
She is weird. She's got a death stare. That woman, his wife, I forget what her name is, and she's all liberal, right? Isn't his wife like some weird... Isn't his wife some weird liberal, and she's just got that, she's got that weird eye that always seems about half closed? She looks like she's trying to give you a poison apple. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm... what was my point here? Do you know anybody that is a Tucker Carlson fan?
I don't think so.
I don't really.
I mean, to show where his standing must be with MSNBC now, it is, they were sponsoring and produced and aired the Republican debate, right?
Yeah.
And he was their attempt to hire a big-name Republican commentator. And so everybody from MSNBC has been doing their show from L.A. this week. The Countdown has been out there with Olbermann, and Chris Matthews has been in L.A. Yes, sir, all the shows have been from L.A., except Tucker Carlson, who was stuck back in Secaucus. Well, it would be a fun trip. You guys would get to go and do your show from that giant Imus studio. And you'd be there in beautiful downtown Secaucus, which is right next to some giant refinery. You know, when Tony Soprano drives out of the tunnel and passes those big tanks that say drive safely, that's where Secaucus is.
Right, Secaucus. Oh. Beautiful downtown. That's like beautiful downtown Akron.
I think Akron probably
right next to some sort of a toxic swamp, some sort of a sewage filled abscess in the earth.
Industrial neighborhood. Kind of like if you drive out Highway 30 northwest of Portland, that's what it's like.
Here's two things. Here's exactly what would happen, and you and I both know that this is true, because somebody said earlier on that somebody at MSNBC is listening to today's radio program. He's looking for somebody to fill the giant gaping void that Imus left. Two things. A, we would go there. They would keep Tim and Sarah. And then
I want $120 million.
And then they would give me the boot. They would find somebody else, and they would keep the other two, and they would send Scotty and I packing somewhere.
Well, I think you might have an opportunity, as long as we could find somebody to dress you better than your other ill-fated attempt at national television. Shall we remind everybody about the time you were on the O'Reilly Factor exactly one time?
That's the other thing I was going to say, and that's the one piece of, we didn't have that piece of memorabilia at the last listener party. We did like a whole 10-year retrospective of this program. We did not, because there wasn't any, we didn't have the mechanism. It's not like we have an AV club here. We didn't have that big thing that they used to roll in from the resource center at your high school that was like a cart with a television on top and a VCR bungee corded to the bottom of it. But I was on the O'Reilly Factor about,
Oh,
like
it was
7-8 years ago. It was during the ill-fated syndicated show.
No, it was before the syndicated show, wasn't it?
No. It was. I'm pretty sure it was during the syndicated show.
It was at the very
show.
Beginning of the syndicated show.
And O'Reilly had me on to talk about JFK Jr. dying. And, if you were to listen to it, this is sort of like the business of JFK debating Nixon on the radio versus watching it on the television and your perceptions about who was the most, who was the best speaker and who won. If you listen to that, I don't think I was my normal raspy, blinding self. And I was sort of shrill and off-putting in that way that many people find charming and endearing. But if you watched it, you have never seen somebody. First of all, I'm fat. Second of all, I'm pale and splotchy. Third of all, I got this long, greasy hair because they called me like 30 minutes before. I'm like, would you like to be on the O'Reilly Factor in half an hour? Get to the studio now. And then, let me ask you this.
And you still had the painted fingernails.
I had nail polish on and...
You had the long, wild hair.
Yes, and the best part is this. I'm under these white-hot studio lights over at K2, which is the place that I did the live shot on the O'Reilly Factor from. What did I decide to wear? Big white t-shirt.
Well, it was actually a shirt that had, I guess, an American flag on it.
But you couldn't see that.
But you couldn't see that because the white stripes just lit up like a beacon and caused big white streaks to go across your face on television.
So I basically look like a schmoo with a human head and just this ghostly disembodied fat Rick Emerson head floating around on the screen. And it's like the program went on. I watched it later. As you watch my appearance on the O'Reilly Factor, as that goes on, they cut to me less and less and less, and they keep going back Mike Gallagher.
Well, and Raleigh James, the female host, yeah.
Yeah, and the best part of it is though, here's the single best moment though, and at this time. At this point, which would have been like 2000, this was actually the highlight of my career. When Bill O'Reilly, because I made the observation about JFK Jr. and I said
something like it was better off that he was dead.
I didn't say that.
Revolted.
I didn't say that, but I said I don't understand why everybody's upset about JFK Jr. dying. I said, granted, he did sleep with Madonna, but that's not really like a limited, list of names there. And Bill O'Reilly said, Rick, I mean, don't you have any shame? And I mean, that was pretty great because I in fact have no shame. So, all right.
So I don't know if we've helped your case with Dan Abrams here or not. Maybe this isn't helping, but Dan, if you are listening and you do bring Rick back, do be sure you have to have a wardrobe consultant assisting him.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Rick, this email says, MSNBC is listening. Now would be a good time to talk about nothing but Satanism and dildos. Done and done, sir. 503-733-2970. Jesus God, is it 11:28 already? I've done nothing.
It really is.
I haven't even made my pithy yet relatable observation about office supplies. Right here. Office supplies.
I see it.
You know, most people in the Portland metropolitan area use office supplies, Sarah, and they would find such a discussion to be both amusing and relevant to their day-to-day existence. I bet most viewers of MSNBC have used these office supplies at some point in the last 2 or 3 days. All right, let's take a break. We come back. TV's Nellie Olson will be in the studio. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thanks for coming along. 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. Scotty, Jake, we now welcome to the Rick Emerson program and the so forth and the hey. We'd like to please to be welcoming. All right, thank you. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini will be joining us. We'll also talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, who has a review of Spider-Man 3, or Spider-Man 3, as Don Geronimo would say. Spider-Man 3. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Let me adjust this microphone before I do anything else. What a discombobulated show we have today. I'd like to now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from... from the Art Alex Zakas green room lurking down the hallway. Let's welcome Allison Arngrim to the Rick Emerson Show. Hi, Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. Should I put on headphones?
Yes.
All that official
Say, I apologize, by the way, that you've been having to sit there in the kitchen for like 4 hours this morning.
I had some junior mints. It was lovely.
Did somebody tell you that we were located very far away from your hotel? Because I came in and like there's a big black car in the parking lot.
We're like camped out in your parking lot from like 10:15 on. We thought, like, we don't know where it is. Like, oh, we could have thrown a rock at it. We had no idea.
I would like to know, by the way, that hopefully we differentiate ourselves from every hack DJ on earth that you've had to talk to over the last X number of years by not playing the Little House.
You didn't?
Theme. No.
God, you guys rock. That's so cool. You didn't play the dee-da-da-dee-da.
No. That whole, no, because you play it and I just see what's her name falling in the clover. It's like, I never need to hear
so
that.
So I have been spared the Little House theme for one morning of my life.
Is it sort of like a Shatner-like response? Like, when you hear that, do you just kind of go, you kind of grit your teeth and just go, Jesus, God.
No,
the
I
French
used to,
horn again.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's like I hear it and it's like, oh, here we go. Now it's kind of cute. Like I did a talk show in France and the studio audience started like singing it and cute French people going la 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 la. It's kind of adorable.
Fantastic.
So then you go, oh, that's cute. Okay.
Aren't you in a French movie right now?
I am. I'm in a French film called Le Deal by Jean-Pierre Mocky. Not terribly well, but I do in the film.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'm working on it. I'm taking French twice a week and working with a coach. But I speak French in the film. It's quite funny.
I guess I never really thought about this. It is so that you probably are huge in France. Yeah, that show's probably been seen everywhere.
140 countries all over the world, plus the DVDs, and the DVDs are now out in French as well. There's like in other languages, yeah.
I didn't even really know there were 140 countries on Earth, so you're,
yeah.
You're famous in places I didn't even know existed.
Exactly, I actually found Sambawa, which is not a place that I knew of. It's somewhere just off the coast of Bali, and they only have electricity like so many hours a day, but they use it to watch Little House on the Prairie. And
Little House cave paintings?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's painting her falling into the clover.
Well, that's what I always say. There's people sitting in mud huts on dirt floors around one big TV going, I hate her, and you it's true. I've met people literally Borneo, Sambawa, Bangladesh, like just like, and I'm like, you.
They don't know what a little house is.
Right.
They don't know what a prairie is.
There's no prairie in their country. It's dubbed into their language. I'm like, what do people in Indonesia? I mean, what is the Olsen family like mean? What's a mercantile to someone in Sambawa?
You had one of the nicer houses in the community, though.
I did indeed.
Michael Landon lived in a shack. They never painted it either.
I know. You would think. I mean, I think in real life in the 1800s, they probably would have taken better care of the house and like painted it at some point. Added a room, when they had the 97th child, perhaps. Yeah, I think so.
Well, and we were talking earlier this week about just what a relentlessly dark program that is. You know, it's family programming, and every week, like, someone gets smallpox. Every week,
rough.
You know, somebody, what happened to John? Well, he went blind, and we had to put him down.
That's true, and that was something that, you know, Michael always talked about. He said, you know, every time they review this show, they always say, oh, it's a children's show. Okay, has anybody really watched it? Because it was locusts and fire and plague and death, and we had
biblical.
Jesse James showed up in an episode. It was quite rough, yeah.
And Albert started the fire that burned down the blind school that killed the baby.
And killed the baby.
And he repented and everything was fine.
Right. And that was very bizarre. For like two episodes, you know, everyone was really upset. And then it was like, well, you know, we go on. It's been an hour. I mean, it was astounding. We killed off like a cast member a year. It was quite brutal, actually, on the prairie.
We're talking to Allison Arngrim. She's going to be at the CC Slaughter's tonight.
Yes, I am.
Doing the show that my wife keeps mistakenly referring to as prairie whore. She keeps saying,
no,
I'm going to see that
whore.
I swear to God, that's what my wife calls.
Smoother.
That's what my wife. She's like, yeah. She's like, a friend of mine are going. We're going to see that prairie whore thing. And I'm like, no. I'm like, it's not prairie, honey. It's prairie bitch.
That's prairie bitch. My husband's flying in tonight. I'll be sure to tell him that your wife is calling me the prairie whore.
I'm just saying.
Lovely.
No, this is simply.
Someone's face is turning really red.
No, this is my wife. What do you want? So that's what she called it. I had to correct her.
Confessions of a prairie bitch.
No, it's, so what is now? What is it? It's not a. Is it about the show? Is it about?
It's about a little. I mean, yeah. I've been doing stand-up for a really long time, but over the years, again and again, people would ask me about the show. So it wasn't like I could just say, oh, I'm going to pretend that didn't happen and do stand-up and not talk about the prairie, because people would sit there and go, so by the way, about the wig, and could you talk about the thing with baby Karen?
It made your scalp bleed, didn't it?
It did.
That's what they read.
It was very hard. They had a big metal comb in the front, and that's fine for a couple of hours, but you wear it for 9 hours and they're going down hills in wheelchairs and stuff. It's really pulling.
Simi Valley was like 100 degrees every day, wasn't it?
110 in the shade for all of August, and plus the light. light. So yeah, no, my it really hurt. So yeah, I talk about the show. I talk about what it is to be an ex-child star and all of the, you know, kind of stigma of being a crazy ex-child star.
Does your phone ring every time, like, Todd Bridges shoots somebody?
They're like,
find a child star somewhere to talk about.
We do. There's always the child star sort of roundups. No, Todd, luckily, he's been doing much better. We love Todd's doing much better now. But we do every time, yeah, when anything happens, like, absolutely, I get called in to VH1 and various TV shows, like, oh, we're having a child star wacko X roundup.
We talked to Tina Yothers, and she said it was the same thing.
Yeah.
I suppose things might have changed since we spoke to her, but she hadn't been arrested when we talked to her.
Yeah,
she turned out relatively normal.
Well, yeah, we always say cast of Little House, no arrests, no convictions. We're very proud.
And Melissa Gilbert still looks terrific. She was in a brand new made-for-TV movie last night on the Hallmark channel.
Another one. She's always all Lifetime and Hallmark.
This was the Gab of the Alzheimer's.
Oh, very good. But yeah, she does. She looks fabulous.
She was a SAG president or something.
Two terms.
Right?
Yeah. President of SAG, which will add years to anyone's appearance. So she actually looks stunning considering.
Now, you auditioned for her role originally, didn't you?
I did. I auditioned. It was sort of, Laura Ingalls was like the search for Scarlett O'Hara for 8-year-olds. It was like everyone read for it. So I read for Laura. I read for the part of Mary, which I obviously was not right for. And then they called me back and I read for the part of Nellie and was hired on the spot.
And then an awkward silence.
Yeah, exactly.
The room. I was going to give you a chance to ask you a question.
Yeah, because I was such a nice child. Oops.
Well, I was just going to ask. I mean, this sounds like a dumb question, but is acting as a kid, does that make it easier or harder to do, I don't want to call it real acting, but adult acting later on?
It can't. Now, luckily, because we were in Little House on the Prairie, as opposed to, say, Different Strokes of the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And we were doing this, like, film, Panavision drama hour show where we took our time and had real directors and real scripts. And that lent itself more to, we were expected to actually, like, act.
Right.
And we were held to a certain standard. A lot of kids who are really young and get on a sitcom where it's real quick, soundbite, cute stuff, or if they're not asked to do anything other than be the goofy kid and say something funny, that's real hard on them later when they say, okay, no, there has to be like a whole scene here, a real character. You can't just come in and say a funny line and walk out. You have to like do
stuff. Use your catchphrase and then look at the camera.
Exactly. And we're doing that on Little House, so that was an advantage. But it is hard because sometimes you'll have a kid actor, I mean, someone like a Haley Joel Osment, like someone who's really good, and because you're a kid actor, they assume that you're like the stupid kid actor.
Right,
so you can have a kid who's really working his butt off, and it's like, oh, well, you just did that when you were a kid, and it's kind of like insulting for them. So. Yeah,
Haley Joel Osment kind of freaks me out, actually. He's
spooky.
He's so, him and Dakota Fanning is the same way, where it's like, they're so good and just so freakishly talented that it's a little unnerving.
It's a little unnerving, and then with Haley Joel had the little car accident thing just last year.
Is that true?
Wrapped a car around a, I think he's okay, but I think it was like a little bit of drink driving, wrapped the car around a post kind of thing. Ooh, not good.
Well, that was,
so he may be cracking up a little.
And that was going to be actually my next question. Do you think that, I mean, just because so many of the child stars end up going wacky.
We go nuts.
Way. So is it they're kind of nutty to begin with and this just amplifies it? Or does being a star when you're a kid make you, does it warp you?
Yeah, I mean, I for years I questioned this as like, is there a radiation leak in the camera? Which you go on TV, go insane. This just doesn't make any sense. There's multiple factors. One is, unfortunately, if you go back and you look at the whole family history and life of a lot of these child stars, a lot of people put their kids in show business for completely all the wrong reasons. There's people who are very nice and go, oh, my kid wants to act and he's in the school play and we're doing this. And then there's people who are just plain cuckoo and take their kids and go, yeah, you gotta put you in show business, we'll make money. And they're coming from a really sick household where the parents put the kid in show business.
They camp out during pilot season at that place in Burbank.
Yeah, exactly. They're all at that, the Oakwood. Where, and so you have these really nutso situations where something's already gone wrong in the house. And they go, we'll fix it by putting the kid on TV. So that's like pouring gasoline on a fire when you get fame. And then it is difficult because you got a grown-up job. Suddenly you have an accountant and you're having to file a tax return and you're having to deal with all of this very adult stuff and buy property and talk to agents and be pressured like, well, what's your next career move? And you're 9, you know?
Right.
And that's not necessarily good for you. And some people, if they have a good support system and their family isn't raving loony to begin with, can surmount this if they go, okay, this is not normal, and I do feel weird, but that's okay that I feel weird because this is not normal. It works out. But if they don't, it can be really hard. And some people, there's just no support system, and they just crash.
And I'm not trying to imply anything, but I don't know. But I whenever, like Haley Joel Osment's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't purport to know anything about his private life. It's none of my business. But whenever I see any child actor that's really good, I always, and Sarah and I have talked about this, I always wonder, like, what is going on in that kid's house that makes him able to pretend so convincingly?
Okay, right, hello? And especially if they're doing, like, parts where they're playing someone who's, like, being tortured
right.
and, like, having a horrible time. You go, okay, so was that method, and what did he, go back to? Yeah, and that is a major question. And we look now, we now hear from people when they got older. I mean, we later found out, like, you know, how bad things really were for Judy Garland and Shirley Temple. It was quite rough. That we go, oh, wasn't that cute? And then we later hear that, like, well, yes, the reason they gave such a good performance is that their life was horrible.
Pounding him with a belt or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so you don't know, and it is always this, we all have to sit around and, like, wait till Dakota Fanning's 20 and writes a book to find out what's really going on over there.
It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We're talking to Allison Arngrim, who you may remember from Little House on the Prairie, also Fantasy Island, Love Boat. You got on a conveyor belt and took you from one show to another?
I always say Fantasy Island, Love Boat, it's the law. It's like, it was like a court-ordered program for an actor in the 70s or 80s in a series. You now must do your Love Boat and your Fantasy Island. You have no choice.
When you're a guest star on Love Boat, I don't know, because I don't remember enough about the show. When you're a guest star, do you get to do the thing at the beginning where you're in a little porthole and you, like, turn and look at the camera and the opening credits, or is it just your name?
Yes. You sometimes do, what they would do your picture, but, like, they would just use a clip. You didn't get to, like, pose. Oh. They would just take a thing from it. And I didn't get to go on the boat. They would only take the boat out, like, twice a year.
Oh, so you're, like, on a soundstage having to pretend that you're looking
completely,
over a
railing? Totally. I was like, oh, look at the ocean. And, you know, so it's completely fake. But they take the boat out twice a year, and, like, the really popular people, like Chara, would get to go on the boat, and the rest of us would have to pretend that
we sorry, we take you, but you're no Charo.
I'm no Charo. I didn't get to go on the boat.
This is Jack. Jack, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Allison Arngrim. Hello. Jack?
Hello?
Hi, what's up?
Yes, hi. Hey, I'm happy to talk to Allison. Actually, the high point of her career for me is seeing her on VH1 reminiscing.
Oh, very good. Yes, I love VH1. They have many very, very silly shows, and I was on all of them, I think.
Oh, VH1, well, those, man, I mean, you want to talk, we're just, the 70s and 80s will never die. I mean, they just will live forever.
I love the 70s and talked about having a bedazzler and stuff like that, yeah.
Fantastic.
Great.
Did you have a question, Jack?
I did, and my question is, I'm a horror buff and really into Halloween and stuff, and I always bring up when we're talking about horror episodes of television shows, I always bring up an episode of Little House on the Prairie, and no one knows what I'm talking about. I want to make sure it really happened. There was an episode in my memory of Willie faking being a werewolf and jumping up and scaring all the girls. Did this happen?
Ooh, I think so. Now I'm trying to remember.
Some sort of bicarbonate in his mouth, so he foamed at the mouth and was writhing around.
Was it Willie or was it Albert? I'll have to go back.
Oh, it was Albert.
Was it Albert? Yeah, because we had many werewolf-themed episodes on the prairie, because as many of you may know, Michael Landon, alias Eugene Horowitz,
I was a teenage werewolf,
and he loved that movie. And so really about once or twice a year, we'd have something involving a werewolf plot line.
he just had a particular love for it.
He loves the werewolf stuff. And then there is also that Halloween episode where Laura thinks that Mr. Olsen has killed Mrs. Olsen, and we all do this whole severed head thing in the dream sequence, and I got to be a severed head. Oh, great.
Every actress's dream.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you very much.
There you go. And last night, it was the episode with the monster at the lake when your mom took over that lakefront property.
I love that one.
And your dad filled it in with blanks.
Yes, and Mrs. Olsen's screaming, shoot, I said, you've got the gun. Yes, the giant monster that is totally faked out by Laura. And
that was
friends.
A terrible look of horror on your face.
Did you like that?
That was great. How many takes did that take to do?
Actually, I think it was only two. Yeah, we were mighty efficient on the prairie. I think, I remember we would take 2-3 takes for things, maybe 4 or 5. If somebody went over 5 takes, it was like, are you feeling well? I mean, we were just like, we tended to go bang, bang, and crank it out.
See, and since I've already just embarrassed myself by repeating my wife's accidental misnaming of the program, I'll go ahead and ask the other awkward question. Well, because you're
all lovely.
Now that I already look like an ass, I will. You hear a lot of stuff about Michael Landon not being necessarily the world's greatest guy to be around or to work with sometimes. And was that your experience? I mean,
I had a really good time. I liked it. Now, he was not really very Paul Ingalls. I think Michael Landon, if the real Charles Ingalls had come to the set, Michael would have said he was a wet blanket and a party pooper. Michael, I mean, as you know, he was married 3 times, many children.
And the affair with a makeup artist.
Who became wife number 3.
Mm-hmm. I like you're all head of hopper over there.
She won him fair and square. She's wife number. And he, you know, he did. He smoked, he drank, he told horrible jokes. But he was really, really fun. He was very crazy, very driven. I don't think he really slept. He was a real workaholic
type.
Right. But some of my favorite episodes were ones he wrote and that he directed. He directed the show, wrote the show, was executive producer. And he was living vicariously through Nelly a lot of the time. He really liked my episodes.
That's a phrase you don't hear very often. I live vicariously through Nelly Olson.
Scary, isn't it? But yeah, Michael was extremely funny. He was one of the funniest people I ever knew. He had this high-pitched giggle, and he would do anything for a practical joke. And so I found it to be enormously amusing to work with him, but I can see where he could have driven people quite crazy because he was a little hyper.
He had that glorious 70s hair. I mean, there's no hair like Michael Landon hair. I mean, really.
Unbelievable. And for the 1800s with those highlights sort of thing, and the blow dryer in the barn that we didn't see, I mean, it's just awesome.
Really did expect him to be giving the Beatitudes on the Mount to people, holding like tablets
in
his hand.
When he did Highway to Heaven, we all called him Jesus of Malibu after that.
Fantastic. All right, we'll go ahead and skip the theme here, Sarah, but this is actually kind of a special treat for us. We want to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Lisa, how you doing?
I can't believe it. I'm doing great. Are you kidding me? This is great.
Lisa Goddard is a CNN correspondent and a huge Little House fan.
CNN is giving you some love back.
I tell you, I'm on CNN all the time. We love CNN. I'm a news junkie.
Hey, outstanding. Wow.
What was the piece of trivia that Lisa, that you had mentioned some piece of trivia? Oh, it was at the end when they blew up the town?
Yes.
And so Lisa revealed, what is it, you've actually won bar bets or something with that, right?
I have. I've won a lot of bets in almost every town I've lived in. I bring that out. How did Little House on the Prairie end? And I always win some money, some meals, something. But Alan, you weren't actually, what happened? How were you not in that episode?
Well, I signed a contract when I was 12 for 7 years. And when the 7 years was up, it was like, do you want to renegotiate, stick around? And I heaven forbid, asked for a raise. But the other problem, too, is if they had said, look, we're only going to do this another 2 years, I probably would have said, sure. But they basically wanted me to sign for, like, another seven.
In perpetuity.
Right. And I was like, no, I can't take anymore. So I bailed, and I think Melissa Sue Anderson and Mary bailed around the same time. That's kind of why it became Little House in New Beginnings. Like half the cast after 7 years.
That show was horrible.
No more. Wasn't Little House in New Beginnings just like all wussy and weird?
Yeah. It looked like an after-school special compared to the original.
That's why it only lasted 2 years, because it was just all wrong without Nellie and Mary and everything.
It was crazy. Yeah, and they had the fake Nellie. They had Nancy.
I didn't like Nancy. I thought she was very good, but people do call her the fake Nellie.
I'm so out of my depth here.
I just, when the mom went out and adopted this girl at the orphanage and slapped the wig on her. Was crazy.
They had us cloned. It's what happened is Melissa Gilbert and I had grown up. So they had to have little baby. It's like, you know, when they do that Scooby-Doo baby characters in cartoons.
Right.
They make them. This was the baby Laura Nelly. They had to have clones. So they suddenly had, what was that girl, Missy Francis, the little girl with the braids, and suddenly Alison Balsam as Nancy. So they had a junior clone Nelly and a clone Laura, and it was really kind of bizarre.
Her business is just weird. Warped and just strange.
Well, I think that you had moved back east by that time.
Yes, my husband, I see, he's really on it. Yeah. Percival's father had died, and so we had to go to New York to take care of his mother.
Right. Lisa, is this...
I'm just delighted here. I really have hardly anything to say, but I'm just delighted. But I am wondering, though, when you were at the height of Little House on the Prairie, when you went out on the street, Did you ever like put a mohawk on? And did people recognize you first of all? And then did you just kind of like, were you just a rebel to go against the grain?
It was the 70s, and I wanted a mohawk, but I had to leave my hair alone because it had to like match the wig with the bangs and all that. Because I was totally into the Sex Pistols, and it was totally. I would have probably had like a green mohawk had I not been on the show, but I did get recognized. And what's weird is I get recognized more now, which kind of freaks me out. It's like during the show I get recognized once or twice a week, and yes, people would go nuts. They like hated me. Now I swear it's every day. I'm like, okay, dude, I'm 45, and the show was how long ago? And every single day, and I got Renee. And now people are really nice to me, which is much better than the try to kill me thing that they were doing in the 70s. But it's very bizarre. If they had told me when I was 12 that when you're 45 you'll be called Nelly in the street, I might have said no. I don't know if I'd have gone through with it.
All right, Lisa Goddard, have we fulfilled some small amount of your childhood fantasies of talking to Nelly Olson?
I have to tell you one thing. Okay, when you watch the sets get blown up, okay, the first thing that got blown up was the blind school, right?
Of course.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, did you notice that it blew up bigger than everything else? You can see those boards, like, coming right at the camera.
But it was it was a massive explosion. Yes, in fact, I had a friend on the phone the last time they played that. Uh-huh. And we were cracking up, drinking, and watching the blind school blow up.
It was the first one they blew up, and they didn't know how much dynamite to put in, and they overdid it on the explosives. And actually, the reason it cut suddenly is because, like, the boards did hit the camera, broke the camera.
The
whole crew was hitting the ground. People got hurt, and so that's why the other explosions were all about half that size. It was great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Excellent.
Fantastic.
You made my year right there. Great.
Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa, if not, see, regardless of how the rest of your weekend goes, this will put a smile on your face, a spring in your step.
It has already, yes.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Fantastic talking to you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, guys.
Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Thank you so much. All right, we're here. Allison Arngram from, you may remember from Little House on the Prairie and many other programs. And then Prairie Bitch, which is tonight at CC Slaughter.
That is correct.
And it's with Veronica Heath, I think.
I have not met yet. They say Portland's own Veronica Heath. But I went to like her MySpace page, and she seems lovely.
So tickets are available at CC Slaughter's. And again, if you just want to give us just a little bit of an overview. Somebody walks in tonight, they don't know what to expect.
Well, you'll love it because there's a question and answer segment. And as you've seen, people do want their questions answered. So we will be distributing index cards that say, Ask Allison Anything. The other night in Seattle, someone said, I want a pony. But I'm unable to supply one. But it did say, Ask Allison Anything. And I do. I talk about a lot of things sometimes. I hear about people recognizing me, about how we feel about ex-child stars, about growing up in Hollywood, the fact that my mother was the voice of Gumby and Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, really?
That's terrific.
And Daisy and Goliath. And my father managed Liberace at one point, and all these, like, wacko Hollywood stories, and then The Prairie, and Being a Bitch, and The Wig, and then people, of course, get to ask questions.
Well, you're just one big pop culture stew. That's
exactly.
Just amazing.
That is totally what it is. It is VH1 on acid.
That really is just fantastic. It really is. Proceeds from the night, or a portion of the proceeds benefit the Cascade AIDS Project
Cascade,
as well.
Cascade, yes.
And you're really into child advocacy, AIDS awareness.
Since the 80s, I've been doing different stuff for AIDS Project, and this is kind of cool, because, like, in L.A. and New York, they have the big AIDS projects, and they have big, you know, celebrities, but, you know, when you go around places like, you know, Bailey Boucher House in Seattle, and Lifelong Cell, and then Cascade here in Portland, they're not, you know, Madonna may not be coming out on the next plane, but they can have me, and I'm able to go around to all these regional different AIDS projects and help raise money and do cool stuff.
Nellie Olson, huge in the gay community.
Yes. And I know I've actually had younger gay men say, are people calling each other Nelly because of you? And I have to say, no, that people were insulting each other, going, you Nelly,
it's
like 1942, okay? It like totally predates
you
me.
You should just say yes.
Yes, it's me. Yes, it was my fault.
Absolutely say
credit
for it.
But yes, they love the Nelly. We love the Nelly. Yes,
I have good. Really quickly here, and I know you're kind of under the gun, there's a couple very brief questions that people have emailed us.
See, people want to know.
Mm-hmm. Somebody wanted to know about Linwood Boomer, who went on to create Malcolm Middle. And the question was, did you know Linwood Boomer was a genius at the time?
Yes, we did. Linwood Boomer is brilliant. He was really funny. Very twisted sense of humor. But I think you get that now from Malcolm in the Middle. We now know. Yeah. But yes, he was so funny and so cute and just brilliant. And he was one of the people I hung out with, me and Steve Tracy played Percival and Linwood. We would like go to parties together and stuff. And Linwood was always cool. And we always knew he was going to do something amazing. But you know, he did Third Rock from the Sun and now Malcolm in the Middle. And I did visit him on the set just a couple years ago at Malcolm. And
the question I had, which is somebody wanted to know, Dean Butler, and I think it was actually two questions. It was, did you ever see Dean Butler naked, and is he a good kisser?
I don't know. I have never seen him naked, and I do not know if he's a good kisser. We can ask Melissa Gilbert. We can check.
Can we now?
Although I will be seeing Dean, I think, next week. We're doing some, like, Little House reunion thing on a show, and then plus we're doing a big thing in Beatrice, Nebraska. So I will be seeing Dean. So perhaps if his wife doesn't mind, I can kiss him and report back.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Final questions, thoughts, anything? Anyone? I would suggest,
so tonight the show begins at 9, and
yes.
I understand if you pick up your tickets ahead of time, there's $15.
Ooh,
and
what
$20 at the door.
$15 in advance.
I already bought mine.
So you save $5 by being prudent and buying in advance.
$15 in advance, $20 at the door. Tickets available at CC Slaughter's. You can find out more at ccslaughterspdx.com. That is tonight, and a portion of proceeds to benefit the Cascade AIDS Project.
Oh, and after this, I'm heading over to the cemetery, because Nellie Owens, who is the human being that Nellie Olson is based on, because, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder's a real person, wrote the books, and she changed the name of Nellie Olson because she was still scared of her. So Nellie Owens Curry is buried in Forest Grove.
Oh, really?
and the grave of Mr. Olson and Nellie and Willie. And I am going to the cemetery actually right after this with my video camera.
Have you been there before?
No, I have never been. And I'm thinking this is such fabulous YouTube footage, right?
Yeah.
Of me like at Nellie's grave.
It probably looks the same since the days of Little House on the Prairie and up in that direction.
Exactly. It's all
like very exciting.
Yes.
Excellent. Allison Arngrim, ladies and gentlemen, find out more and see, get the tickets for the show. You can find them at CC Slaughters or ccslaughterspdx.com. The show is Prairie Bitch tonight. Allison Arngrim, thank
you.
And
I sign
so
autographs
much.
After and everything, too, so you get anything you want.
You're great. Fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Allison Arngrim. We will be back after this with the AM 970 noon news hour. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
That was funny, though.
Why, hello there. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along.
That was a great interview. I didn't even really need to be here for that, though.
I could have just had, like, Lisa Goddard and Tim and, like, that Jack guy.
I hope you're listening, MSNBC.
Yeah, that's right. In your face. In your face, MSNBC. You don't have Allison Arngrim on today.
Okay. You don't even have Connie Chung anymore.
Maybe they should revisit that.
I do have to say that she autographed this, I don't even know what you call this. It's like a postcard size, it's like a four shot. It's, you know, like you go to one of those photo booths and you get your picture, you know, you have like 2 minutes and it takes your picture and a bunch of poses and then it spits out the little piece of paper. I have one of those, but it's four different shots of Nellie Olson making her like bitch face. And then it's, you know, and they decide, you know, to Rick, and it says Allison slash Nellie, which is fantastic. This is completely going up in my office next to my Rickles thing and my Tim Conway thing.
See, I'm going to go visit my mom for Mother's Day and I'm totally bringing her this.
Oh, is it to your mom?
Uh-huh.
She signed it to your mom? Aw.
Well, I didn't tell her that. I think she thought my name was Chris.
That's okay. No, it's great, babe. Come on. How fantastic.
Oh, no, it's
I got you a Nellie Olson autograph. She was great. She was very diplomatic about Michael Landon, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I'd already bitten the prairie whore bullet, I figured I would just jump in and ask the other awkward question, which Tim and I have been talking about, how that Michael Landon section of the webpage is, like, gone.
Mm-hmm.
The part that, it's like michaellandonisanass.com, whatever the hell, and Michael Landon is a bastard. And so you click on it, it's gone. It's like a 404 error. There's just no, there's no Michael Landon section. And so I figured I would just... about that Michael Landon, did he beat you with sticks or whatever it was I asked him? She gave the great Hollywood answer about that, though, which is, well, he was always nice to me, but I heard other people, and that's totally what you always hear when someone's just a bastard. You always hear the whole, you'll always hear this about, like, when somebody's, not that this was Michael Landon, but when somebody's revealed to be, like, a huge crack fiend, they'll say, like, well, did you know he was a crack fiend? They'll say, well, now, I personally never saw him intoxicated, but I know other people say that, and that totally is, that's the way you split the baby.
Well, I thought it was being diplomatic about the affair with the makeup artist. That was public knowledge.
You were diplomatic when you said, and don't forget that affair with the makeup artist.
Who became his wife.
This email says, Rick, about Allison, she sounds exactly the same. I love her. Smiley face emoticon.
I have loved her longer.
How about this? Rick, I just picked up my, let's see. Oh, this is somebody saying, Rick, I'm passing on George Carlin tonight. This is Allison Arngrim, says this email. Damn, Rick, Allison talks as fast as you do, says this one. All right, 503-733-2970. This is somebody asking about the Nellie versus Nancy thing, which we did get to. Fantastic. We got some photos of her. We'll stick those up on the website later on. All right, 503-733-2970. Coming up within the next couple of minutes, we will announce the AM 970. Glorious Bastard of the Week. Speaking of Carlin, you'll score yourself a pair of tickets to see George Carlin tonight at the Schnitzer, as well as some other station swag. All of that is on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please make way for your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So the big story today is David Hasselhoff direct. We're going to hold off on that a couple of minutes because we have a couple of local things. Those two women who forced themselves into the Vancouver home and held that male victim at gunpoint, well, apparently, they came to the door and offered $100 for a good night.
Ugh.
course, they said no. It is Vancouver. You can cross the bridge and find something better.
Well,
there is a bridge connecting the two states.
You can find some with no visible scars or teeth.
Can go down to 82nd.
So they just knocked on this guy's house and said
$100 for a good night.
Did they pick him randomly?
I don't know.
It's sort of like a reverse Mormon thing. Which, would you like some sex? And then this is the woman, one of whom was 150 pounds.
Oh, wait, I see. Apparently, the guy stopped at the gas station on the way home to withdraw cash. He thinks it's the possibility that the suspects witnessed him taking the money and followed him home.
I met these hot girls at a Vancouver gas station. No, let me just tell you this right now. There is no penthouse forum letter ever that begins with, I was at a Vancouver gas station. None of them, that's the beginning to nothing good, my friend. All right.
So that's what happened.
Okay.
One of the women detained him while the other ransacked the house, and they stole his wallet containing several hundred... You don't stop at night in Vancouver and take out $700 in cash. Wait till daylight. What are you going to spend it on in Vancouver? Apparently one of these women. That's the only thing after 8 o'clock at night to spend $100 on.
I got to see a photo of the women. Oh, no, baby. No.
Now, if you put enough gas in your car, you could go to Scappoose and meet the 1907 Playmate of the Year, Sarah Jean Underwood, who feels sick.
Underwood.
Mm-hmm. Huh. This after being named Playboy Magazine's 2007 Playmate of the Year. And her response, I thought I was going to puke. I thought I was going to paint. I thought I was going to cry.
Well done.
She's a petite 23-year-old blonde who beat out 11 other beauties to become the magazine's 48th Playmate of the Year.
A petite blonde. That's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Her title and the start of a year-long reign will be celebrated at a backyard luncheon under a tent.
In Scappoose?
No, at Hugh Hefner's famous Playboy mansion.
Oh, all right. What is her name?
Her name is Sarah Jean Underwood.
Jean Underwood. I wonder if there are photos of her.
I'm sure there are.
She's
on Wikipedia already.
I mean, the thing is... Oh, really? Oh, I should totally be looking. Oh, here she is. Oh, see, but this is... I know this makes me sound...
She's 5'3", short and freckled-faced.
No, it doesn't make me sound lecherous and creepy.
Oh, she's cute.
No, but see, that's the thing. I was going to say, I know this makes me sound... I don't know, this is one of... I don't even know how this makes me sound. I was going to say that... The only problem is she's cute, I guess, in the way that every single other damn woman in Playboy is cute.
Saying. Yeah, she looks very generic. She looks like all the parts fit and, you know, that's that. Like all of she's pieced
I'm
together.
Sorry?
Well, she's like pieced together. Fit. She has like, she's thin, tan, big, white blonde hair.
She looks like every other woman that they fit to be in Playboy. And again,
they must have used all the makeup in Scappoose to get her ready for this.
Get the spackle gun. She's just... I mean, she's just very generic looking. And I'm not going to say she's not attractive.
That's hilarious.
I'm not going to say
her.
She's...
Look at that big dude next to her.
Oh, her with the King of Queens guy?
No, that's just some random
guy. I know, he's just
guy.
Some
guy.
Some fanboy.
I'm not going to say...
Who handed her the key to the city of Scappoose.
The key to the city, which just opens a restaurant at a Chevron somewhere.
You got to have lunch with Scott Dowling, also a resident of Scappoose.
I'm not going to say she's not attractive. She is. I mean, it would be... I'm not going to be one of those guys that goes, women in Playboy don't do that much for me. It's not that they're not attractive. They're just not... I don't find women in Playboy to be hot in the sort of real world sense, because they just look... They all look like they're stamped out of the same mold. This is like that whole thing about Hefner having those seven girlfriends who all look the same. I mean, I guess she's attractive, but she's not hot. There's a difference. It's just Playboy has a real problem, in my opinion, in that they have a terrible... there's just no diversity. And when I say diversity, I don't mean diversity in the way that CBS Radio means diversity.
How much of diversity do you think you're going to find in Scappoose?
Well... I mean, you start with the ones
way back when, but they get rid of all the people who didn't look diverse. And they probably named, the summer holiday after the person who did it, as they do in most of these small towns.
I guess diversity in Scappoose just means, I guess that is just determined by how many fingers you've lost in the harvest that year. All right, well, in any event, so she's attractive in a sort of boring, Cupid doll playboy kind of way, I guess. Oh, wait, this is Steve. He says he has Sarah Jean Underwood in. How can this go wrong? Hi, Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Hi. What's up?
Hey, I don't know. You mentioned before you're a subscriber, so you probably would have remembered her on the cover. She was the one that was painted in Oregon State Beaver paint.
Beaver?
Oregon State.
When was this? How long ago?
It would have been, let's see, beginning of last football, September of last, or I think she was the July of last year.
Like, oh, that's right. She's nude, but they painted her.
Exactly.
They painted the
State football jersey.
The uniform was, on her, yeah.
That's what it was. And so she was the cover, which made a big deal because, you know, Oregon State, you just, nobody knows of that place. And and so, you know, she got the cover, blah, 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 Oregon State Beaver, ha, ha. And, so anyway, yeah, she's made a lot of appearances.
I don't follow,
on,
sir.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I guess it's the biggest thing to, I guess she is the biggest thing to come out of Scappoose, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, I go to OSU, and she quickly, she didn't have very many credits left to go.
Uh-huh.
And she quickly decided that as opposed to graduating, she'd pursue her career as a playmate, whatever they do.
I don't even know. I mean, what do you even get for being a Playboy playmate? What is the? I mean, what is the prize other than the?
My guess is, you know, just as being a loyal Playboy reader and follower, it's just that they just get, you know, you get some money out of it, and not only that, your name's thrown around the press, and you get to go to all these big gala events, and she lives at the mansion down there.
Really?
And,
well,
the wife's hooked on that that one show that's
Oh, Girls Next Door.
That's the one. And so anyway, she makes these cameos on there every once in a while. She's dumb as a stump, but I tell you what, and the thing is,
that in her bio, by any chance?
It should be, guys.
Distinguishing characteristics: dumb as a stump. All right.
The thing yes. is, and I agree with you.
Welcome to my MySpace page.
She's not gorgeous, and none of the Playboy girls are that cute. They have that little cute girl, and I feel old. I'm 32, so I look at these girls and I'm thinking to myself,
how old is she? 19? 23. 23?
I think she is that how old she is. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, you get into some of those playmates and you're like, holy cow, I was already, you know, by the time you were you know.
Yeah, I've told this story. I remember the first time I saw a playmate who was younger than I was. And it is kind of a weird sensation. You're right. Especially, you know, and especially as you get older and they're just sort of like, you know, they're like, yeah, becoming like Scotty could be this girl's father.
Well,
I mean,
you know, I now have a daughter at home now. It puts the whole thing into perspective, dude. I tell you what, you start thinking, you're going, Jesus Christ, this world's coming to. Yeah, dumb as a stump, but tell you what, she could the body, I guess. So.
All right. Thank you,
go
sir.
Figure.
Thank
all
you.
Right, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Steve.
She could come home and manage the Scappoose Tasty Freeze if she wanted to.
Scotty said that Hefner is the prize. Yes. Yes, the wrinkled manhood of Hugh Hefner. That is your prize, young lady. Congratulations. I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. I mean, she's, you know, she's famous, and I'm not, so, I mean, whatever. But, I mean, it just doesn't seem like, I don't know. That seems, being Playmate of the Year is not really what it used to be. That used to be a huge deal. And even, you know, even in my memory, like, the last Playmate of the Year who was a really big deal was Jenny McCarthy. And that was 1995, I think, when she was Playmate of the Year. And when I say a big deal, I mean, it was a big deal in that it was known outside of the circle of people who read Playboy. I mean, if you read Playboy, yeah, you'll see the Playmate of the Year. But I judge whether something is big in pop culture by whether it is known to people who don't follow whatever it is that you become famous by doing. In other words, Michael Jordan is part of pop culture because he's known even to people who don't follow basketball. Everybody knew who Jenny McCarthy was, even though, you know, and everybody knew who Anna Nicole Smith was if she was Playmate of the Year. I don't think anybody knows who Sarah Jean Underwood is last year. Unless you're from Scappoose and fans of girls who are, I don't know, maybe a little bit rounded, mentally speaking. So, that's all I'm saying. All right, anyway.
Well, I mean, she's probably smart enough to run a threshing machine. What more could a person ask from Scappoose?
And she just looks tiny. I mean, she does look like she would sort of, like she'd be damaged pretty easily. So, this is, no, not funny, and not on the air. Not funny and heard by no one, ass. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So here's the one you've been waiting for. Footage of famous actor David Hasselhoff, his disturbing alcohol relapse, and has hit the airwaves everywhere, was on Extra first. It shows a recovering alcoholic, or so he liked to call himself, in a belligerent and extremely drunken state with a family member off camera begging him to stop. He's lying on the floor of his Las Vegas residence with a hamburger barely able to feed himself.
I hate this. David Hasselhoff ought to be taken out back.
Is he being a poser in this?
No, he ought to be taken out back and horsewhipped. Seriously. I mean, look, I'm all...
You're getting really worked up.
It's because it infuriates me. It just
makes only David Hasselhoff.
I know it's only David Hasselhoff, but it makes me angry beyond words. This is like the Alec Baldwin thing, but to me it's even worse. So, do you have the audio?
I do. We're going to play the whole thing.
So here's the visual of this. And I know David Hasselhoff, you know, ha-ha, funny, he's retarded. You know, we all agree. He's retarded.
He's a rapper.
He's Hasselhoff.
Mm-hmm.
I understand all of this. And I understand the humor of David Hasselhoff. So drunk. I always joke about Paul Harvey being so drunk he can barely stand. David Hasselhoff can't even lay down. He's so drunk. He's laying on the floor, but still sort of staggering. Attempting to eat a hamburger. And when I say attempting, he's picking pieces of it up. Like, he tried to pick up the whole hamburger, but then, like, he drops it all but, like, one of the buns. And then he, like, is trying to put the bun in his mouth. And then he's, like, dropping that, too. And he can't get his mouth to work properly to chew it. So, the thing about this, though, is he is being videotaped by his teenage daughter. She's, like, 15, 14.
Yeah.
And you can tell from the tone of her voice that she is videotaping him because she is... I mean, and I don't know what the situation with that family is. They're all divorced and crap, right? There's no mom around or whatever. She's living with David Hasselhoff, but the mom's not on the scene. The parents are split up. So you can tell from the daughter's tone of voice that she's, like, doing the best she can, that she's tried doing anything she can think of to try to get her idiot father to get a handle on his alcoholism. And she's doing basically, like, a one-person intervention where she's videotaping him drunk, and she's giving him this list of reasons why he's got to get his crap under control. And he's just lying there, being just this drunk ass.
Maybe she should have got Alec Baldwin.
You know, she should have gotten a baseball bat, is what she should have gotten. And she should, anyway, so go ahead and play the audio here. David Hasselhoff is laying on the ground.
Now on Celeb TV. Shocking new video of what appears to be an intoxicated David
Hasselhoff. Yeah, what appears
Hasselhoff.
To be.
The syndicated television program Entertainment Tonight obtained this exclusive videotape and distributed it to CelebTV.com. The video, reportedly shot 3 months ago in Las Vegas by Hasselhoff's 16-year-old daughter Taylor, shows the star lying on a floor wearing only a pair of jeans, eating a hamburger.
Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight.
What?
Okay? Because if you get alcohol tonight, you're fired from your show tomorrow. And the doctor is coming over here in the morning to check your alcohol level. And if you have any alcohol in your system, you're going to be fired from the show. Tomorrow. You hear me? No alcohol.
According to Entertainment Tonight, the voice in the video is Hasselhoff's daughter begging her father to stop drinking. Listen again.
Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight.
In a statement through his attorneys, Hasselhoff says, I am a recovering alcoholic.
Clearly.
Despite that.
Yeah.
Let's see, I have some more sound here.
Wait, so maybe he's on something else then if she's saying you're not going to get alcohol tonight.
No, she's saying you've got to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight. Because the deal is apparently he's being tested to see if he's all, you know, to see if he's on the wagon or off the wagon because he's doing some show or whatever. And the weird thing is apparently the daughter, as Fatboy noted, the daughter apparently reads his contracts for him as well because she knows, she's like, if the doctors find alcohol in your system, you're going to get fired. And... God, you talk about people. God damn, man. We talk about people who shouldn't be allowed to have children and how, you know, idiot poor people who, you know, ought to be sterilized so they can't just keep reproducing and treating their children badly. You know, and it's not just idiot poor people. It's idiots of every conceivable stripe and culture and financial strata.
He tries to explain his actions.
This is a mess. I'll be fine.
Why are you, like, doing this to yourself?
Because I'm out of money. I'm not much going away.
A family member takes him to task for making poor choices with alcohol.
This is a mess.
Being an right now. And you know why? Because you drank. And tomorrow morning you're going to regret everything that you've ever told me. You stole your life away by drinking. I don't know why you are stupid.
How old is this child?
16.
That's awful.
Seriously, that guy ought to be tossed off an ocean liner in the middle of the sea. That guy ought to be shot into the sun. It just makes me just angry beyond words. God, what a dick. Yeah, F that guy.
Would you like to know Scotty's response? Scotty,
I've been there before.
It happens.
Really?
How wonderful for your children.
Jesus.
Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
You know, when you want to use a benchmark for truly beautiful women, at the top of my list would be Storm Large. And I will never purchase another I haven't purchased a copy of Playboy probably in 10 years anyway.
Isn't she supposed to be in Cabaret?
I was just going to say, the reason I laughed when you said it, I wasn't laughing about the idea of Storm being beautiful. I was laughing because I'm looking at this handwritten press release. Yeah, I'll get to this in a second. This scrawled press release that Portland Center State sent to me.
There's a better one I found on the copying machine yesterday.
Portland Center State is thrilled to announce that Storm Large is accepting an offer to perform the role of Sally Bowles in the 2007-2008 season opening production of Cabaret.
No, I'm getting tickets to that.
Thank goodness they're going to have something decent over at that theater.
Yeah, it's, let's see, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, yeah, she's a... The casting of Storm Large is in lockstep with a consistently strengthening effort to connect with and reflect the culture and values of the local Portland community. You're right. Well, the thing about Storm is, like a lot of women, you know, Storm is very naturally beautiful. I suspect, and I say this trying not to be creepy, you know, but I suspect that Storm, you know, what is that phrase they always use? Right out of bed in the morning looks great. I mean, she's a naturally pretty pretty girl.
And she'll end up playing Caesar someday.
Well, for 40, I mean, she's fantastic.
She's not 40. She's 37. Like, I'm all defending Storm's virtue, but you see a lot of those Playboy girls, and you just know, if you were just to hose them off and put them in under a bright light, it's a, you know, it's dawn of the dead time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, that's Jeff. What else do we have here?
What a strange program. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much. I was listening to Dennis Miller this morning, and they did the whole thing about Medford being the 100th affiliate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up there, and you're a big Buffy fan, right?
I am indeed.
Well, Medford's a whole lot like Sunnydale, except for... you know, Sunnydale's got vampires and demons. Medford's got tweakers and rednecks.
Fantastic. It is Medford is Oregon's hellmouth.
Yeah, if you grew up there, you'd agree wholeheartedly, yes.
Yeah.
It's a terrible place to live.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take it easy, Rick.
Thank you. Now, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be just so bleak about the David Hasselhoff thing, but come on, man. I mean, it's like, what kind of a dick? Because you can tell... That's not a thing that the daughter just got into her head, that she's like... I mean, you have to have gone through... In my opinion and experience, it's you have to have gone through many, many years of failed attempts to get somebody to quit drinking and many, many dozens of speeches and tearful requests and big sob sessions before you're at the point of pointing a video camera at him and saying, hey, ass, you got to quit drinking or you're going to get fired. So, and you know, and no 16-year-old anybody, no child of any age ought to be put in a position of having to take care of their idiot goddamn father who doesn't know when to put down the Smirnoff. So, I mean, this is just, you know, whatever. I mean, some guy doesn't have kids, you're single, you're whatever. I don't care. Do whatever you want. But clearly, this is like the tip of the Hasselhoffian iceberg. So, yeah, that guy to be taken aback and have his teeth yanked out. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, perhaps he will.
I hope so. I hope something bad happens to David Hasselhoff. I'm going to go home and pray for it every night.
Well, here's something a little more cheerful. The Queen has come to celebrate the founding of Jonestown. The founding of Jamestown. It's a different place. It's
the founding of Jonestown.
Yes.
Please come to the compound. And if the children cannot drink, please to inject for them.
It was like 400 years ago that the Brits sent people over here to colonize Jonestown or Jamestown.
Nobody's colonizing Jonestown. Just flies. Hello.
She says she and her husband, Prince Philip, the heartless one, are in Virginia this weekend to celebrate the first permanent English settlement in North America.
The Jamestown landing is not just a historical fact, but a symbol. A symbol of the convergence of civilizations.
Okay.
We have more here. The Queen says she and Prince Philip... love coming to the U.S.
I think that's the right one. Let's
My
go.
Visits to Jamestown and Williamsburg, separated by 50 years, symbolize for me the warmth of the welcome Prince Philip and I have always received during our many visits to the United States over the years.
All right. Okay, I'm just going to plead ignorance on all things royal here. Okay, so this
Richard Quest was covering it.
I saw him on television yesterday. Is that why? I was walking to the bathroom yesterday. And if you walk to the bathroom, we walk by what's called the rack room here, which is where all the computers and all the satellite information, the satellite receivers are kept. And there's a big television in there that's always kept on CNN. I walk by and I see the big horse teeth of Richard Quest. And I thought, and I meant to mention it to you and then I forgot, but apparently you went into it. So he's, you know, and of course, the great thing about Richard Quest is you see him on television and in my head, I immediately hear the right across his posterior. Like I totally hear that voice. I don't know anything about the royals. Okay, so there's the queen.
Well, that's why he's there. He's explaining what she does. What she's not throwing the flowers away. She gives them to charity.
So he's explaining to the deaf Yanks.
Right.
So, okay, Prince Philip is who?
That's her husband.
Now, why wouldn't she be married to the king?
Because the king was her father, and he died making her a queen.
So if the queen marries somebody, he doesn't become king?
No.
How do you get a new king?
The king is one of her children.
So, Prince, what's his name?
But it's
Charles.
It's not going to happen because he married that horse face woman. So now it's going to be
Richard Quest.
Yes.
He married Richard Quest in a wig.
Yeah, Camilla kind of looks like Richard Quest in drag.
Is that true that he can't be king because he married a commoner?
Well, he could be, but the people of England do not want it since he's divorced and married her.
Now, do the people of England get to vote on it?
No, but they're very sensitive to public opinion. Didn't you see the movie The Queen yet?
I did, actually, you know, and I honestly have been meaning to see it because The Queen, and I hadn't...
If you want to see real acting...
I had no interest, if you're tired of girls in leather pants fighting vampires...
Tired of these girly shows at these side shows...
Tired of treading water in a sea of retarded adolescents, Rick. I wasn't going to see The Queen until I found out what the plot is, and it is about... Correct me if I'm wrong. It is about the Queen's attempt to sort of mold public opinion in the days following Princess Diana's death, right?
Well, the problem was she wanted to stay away from it on the advice of Prince Philip, who didn't know what he was talking about, and Tony Blair got into the act and finally convinced her to show a little heart in public.
All right. Did she have to fake having a heart, or did she...
She began to realize that Prince Philip was heartless, but she's been married to him for 50 years, so what can she do?
Okay.
And the woman who plays the queen is a former stripper from the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who wants to hear a creepy email before we break?
I do.
Rick, I saw Storm at the gym one morning. No makeup, wearing sweatpants and hair all messed up. She looked incredibly hot. I fell off the treadmill. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break. Back after this, more of Tim Riley. Later on, we'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Bob Noodles Costantini. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com coming up later on. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. It's the AM 970 noon news hour. In just moments, we return to the mellifluous tones of one Timothy Riley. All right, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, my computer up over here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. This kind of sounds like, prairie music. Ladies, this is fantastic. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to name our first AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week.
Yes, this sounds like I on Southeast Portland. From Powell to 82nd. From the desert to the sea.
With Brick Tamblyn. Ron Burgundy.
Everybody winks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the Glorious Bastards, which you can sign up to become a Glorious Bastard at 970.am, 970.am. Our first AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week is Sean O'Neill. Sean O'Neill. My friend, you have won what I believe is being called the Glorious Bastard Mystery Swag Bag. Well, that's got to be renamed. Anyway, the big deal here is it's a pair of tickets to see George Carlin tonight at the Schnitzer. You got to pick those up tonight, by the way. Pair of tickets to see George Carlin tonight at the Schnitzer, as well as some other crap. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you can sign up to become an AM 970 Glorious Bastard at 970.am. Sean O'Neill, you are the first AM 970 Glorious Bastard. And stop.
Good job.
never done. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Dick Cheney meets the Queen. He was first in line welcoming Queen Elizabeth to the historic settlement of Jonestown. The Queen's visit helped commemorate the founding of this by English settlers some 400 years ago. Mr. Cheney noted that it became the first English settlement on the North American shore because somebody told him.
Inside a little three-sided fort.
Oh, God.
In this corner of Virginia, large events were set in motion and great and noble traditions were introduced in America.
Smallpox.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Celine Dion ends her run on the Vegas Strip in December, Bette Midler will get ready to step up to the plate and fill the crazy woman's shoes.
I am indeed coming to the Coliseum, here at Caesar's Palace, to headline, and I'm really excited!
I will totally go see that.
We tax what the audience will see.
We have feathers, we have rhinestones, we have sequins, we have half-naked ladies. We might even have some really naked ladies.
Midler says her fans will love what she has planned.
We're going to bring back our old characters, and we're going to have a ball, and we just can't wait.
All right, so there you go. Is that now, or is that as of, like, later this year?
Later this year, December.
All right, December. So there you go.
Kick Celine out.
Celine.
Trying to procreate with her cancer-ridden husband's sperm or whatever the hell that email was. Oh, speaking, was it
show me the headliner at El Cortez.
El Cortez is the best, man. And Scotty and I were talking about this, I think, off the air a couple weeks ago. The El Cortez, if you want to go there, just feel infinitely better about yourself. It is sort of what I imagine that a Scappoose casino would be like, since we're talking about Scappoose. You walk in and the carpet is so you can see right through the concrete underneath.
It's like if Norman Bates joined the Rat Pack.
It's sort of, and like all the cocktail waitresses are all about 85 years old. It's fantastic. Was it you that gave me this Johnny L. Cochran brain tumor center to be dedicated?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's about time.
What was the phrase in here? There was some, but on the way to the kitchen, I saw that Richard Quest was on CNN again. As I walked to the bathroom, Richard Quest was on, and the thing about Richard Quest on CNN, we're going to try to get that guy. So we have the Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop and so forth. It does seem that we are a CNN radio affiliate. It does seem like we ought to be able to pull Richard Quest, right?
They never talk about him.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that they would want an opportunity to promote him. And we are fans. We are fans of Richard Quest. It seems like that's the thing we ought to be. Now, all day long, I'm just going to be brainstorming every guest I can think of to try to cover the sad despair I feel inside about losing Alice Cooper and Joey Pantoliano. One day.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So Barack Obama gets Secret Service protection. Senator Dick Durbin said he raised concern about the Democrats' safety with congressional leaders because, yes, there have been racist reactions to the senator's presidential bid.
Unfortunately, some of the information that we found was racially motivated. Mr. Obama's African-American heritage is a cause for very violent and hated reactions from some people.
I can tell you, no matter whether it's Hillary or Obama, this country is going to be pretty interesting for at least 4 years when one of them wins. It's going to be what is that Chinese thing? May you live in interesting times. It's going to be 4 years of never quite know what's around the corner.
Jesse Jackson held the previous record for early protection and says he's not surprised.
When I announced in 84, the very first lady, they had to bring out the Secret Service because we received the most threats of any candidate at that time in American history. And because of the backdrop of presidents and candidates being killed, if Dr. King was killed, it was too real to ignore.
Meanwhile, an LSU student is being held on $1 million bond after he allegedly told a fellow student he planned to kill Hillary during her visit this week to Baton Rouge. You better hope that she doesn't find out who she is, because she'll take care of that herself.
Hillary's people will find you, and you will never be heard from again.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, a swarm of entertainers have landed on Time Magazine's fourth annual 100 Most Influential People of the World list. Time Magazine's deputy managing editor Edie Ignatius explains why The View co-host Rosie O'Donnell made the list this year.
She does make people sit up and take notice, and she loves to feud, and she's sort of just smart enough to get away with it. She's very active in the causes that she is involved in.
And why George Bush didn't make the list.
He had no coattails during the previous election. prominent Republicans are moving away from him. His poll ratings are very low. I mean, we just thought this is really, you know, even for a lame duck president, his influence is markedly low.
And I like it. Guy's very sort of Peter Carlin-esque in that he describes Rosie O'Donnell as just being sort of smart enough to get away with things. Fantastic.
So for some unknown reason, this was sent over today. The nation's, because it's Friday, and we haven't been told to be afraid for a long time, so somebody decided it was time to send this out. The nation's terror threat level is at yellow, or elevated. There are fire threat levels, each identified by a prescription and corresponding color in case you forgot. The top one is red, for severe. Orange is high. Elevated, which we are now, is yellow. Guarded is blue, and low is green.
And so, but wait, we're where now?
Yellow.
Which is what?
Elevated.
From what? Well, okay.
Never You're mind. Elevated from being guarded.
Okay.
But not high enough to be orange.
I don't really even understand. And what are we... I know that this seems like observations from, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, but I'm not even really sure what we're supposed to do with any of these colors. Am I supposed to, when it's yellow, am I supposed to
be elevated?
I look both ways like multiple times before I leave the house or something? Am I supposed to report to people who look at me slant ways? I'm really unclear about what action I'm supposed to take.
That's a good question.
All right, well, let's do nothing.
All right.
Okay.
Meanwhile, our Canadian corner. A home in Winnipeg is no longer getting mail because of their cat. The Canadian Postal System decided to stop delivering the mail to the home after one of their carriers were scared away by what is described as a very threatening cat. The post office hopes to resolve the situation with the cat owner. John Zaborski says his 8-year-old declawed black cat is docile and calls it ridiculous that the post office makes him pick up his mail at the post office. The cat is named Shadow. It likes to eat, sleep, and cuddle. He tells the newspaper he could drop a bomb. He'd open just one eye, take a look, and then go back to sleep. That's the biggest story in Canada.
You just tuned in. The Rick Emerson Show is actually reporting charming, cuddly cat news.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right.
Meanwhile, a new study indicates that the brains of people who drink large amounts of alcohol get smaller. Mentioned David Hasselhoff. From New York Presbyterian Hospital comes word. It makes complete sense, they say, considering how much of a poison alcohol is. People recovering from alcoholism can take 6 months to a year to fully regain their cognitive abilities, such as memory and ability to do abstract thinking. So, it follows that alcohol has a physical impact on the brain.
Scotty.
A drink is classified as a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, or an ounce and a half of vodka.
I remember being told in school, there was something about every ounce of alcohol you consume killed 12,000 brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always follow that up with the fact that brain cells can't regenerate yourself or something. They never tell you that you've got like 100 billion brain cells or whatever to begin with. But that's why you do get that like that water on the brain thing. Mm-hmm. If you're just like some W.C. Fields type where your brain is just turned into some sort of a watery goo.
Meanwhile, an unidentified adult male was killed yesterday afternoon when he was hit by a train as he walked across the tracks. Wearing earphones.
Where?
South of Canby.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. The victim was reportedly wearing headphones. He was walking with his back to the southbound train as he turned to his right and attempted to walk across the tracks. Bad move. The train struck him, killing him instantly. They try to identify what's left of him, but it's going to be difficult.
I don't understand. I mean, even if you have... Stop now. Even if you have headphones on, trains... I mean, when I lived near some train tracks, you could feel those things coming like 2, 3, 4 miles away. They shook the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This implies that not only you're not able to hear the train, but also that that you don't have any sense of touch because you're not aware that the rumbling of the train is coming toward you. It doesn't make any sense at all. Also, let me also say this. On the front, do they still have those cow catchers on the front of trains?
I haven't seen the front of a train in a while, but I would imagine so, except for the backs.
What does that thing actually do?
It catches cows if they get in the way.
Okay, but I mean...
If you're a farmer and your cow is hit by a train, I mean, naturally you'd be upset. It gives the cow a fighting chance.
But see, I was thinking about that. I mean, but then that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so a train is... And everybody knows what I'm talking about, cow catcher. It's like the little angly... It's that little angled thing. It's like a sort of an upside-down scoop on the front of a train.
Right, look at your model trains. They look the same.
So, but if that train is coming along at 80 miles an hour...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does it do? It still kills the cow, I would imagine, right?
It might lift it gently.
I don't think a 70-ton train going 80 miles an hour lifts anything gently into the air. I think the cow is lifted. It's at a high rate of speed, and it's thrown through the air at quite a great velocity. And it probably smashes into the ground and becomes very wide and very thin. That's what I would imagine. So I am unclear about what the purpose of that thing actually is and what it does. So,
maybe cows are bigger way back when.
I don't really know if I want to spend a lot of time actually talking about the form, function, purpose, and efficacy of cow catchers. But that is a thing that I sort of wonder about sometimes. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And here's an answer to a question you asked earlier. A lawyer for Don Imus says his bosses could have edited Imus' controversial comments, but chose not to. Martin Garbus tells Good Morning America that higher-ups at CBS Radio and MSNBC both had delay buttons. They could have edited the on-the-air comments, but they did not. He said that proves... Well, no, wait a minute. Wouldn't Bernie be at the controls to push those buttons?
Well, but the thing is, here's the point they made with Imus is, not unlike with Howard, and I think this is where Don and Mike, too, but you take Howard for an example. When Howard was still on terrestrial radio, Howard had his own delay. Howard, like I have. I have a big green button that says dump that I can use to hit things.
I don't get one.
I have one. There's one on the board. And then it's not hooked up yet, but there is actually one at my desk upstairs.
Oh, can I have that one?
Have you seen it?
I'd rather have the big screen television first.
That's.
They took the tape down where we're supposed to go. Does that mean they changed your mind?
Well, the frustrating part is the TV is actually here. The TV is here, and it's sitting in the engineer's office. They just haven't put it up yet. They just brought it in to tease it. But there's three different. So theoretically speaking, if I'm sitting up at my desk upstairs, I hear something that I believe is objectionable by community standards, there's a big red button on my desk that I can press that will dump that.
It's not inside, like a wooden box?
No, but you know what it is? It looks like one of those big red buttons you push to detonate, munitions or something. It's in a black box, and it's a huge red button that's about the size of a silver dollar. It's badass. It looks great. It is very intimidating looking. But Howard had a dump. Robin had a dump. Gary Delabate, his producer, had a dump. The program director had a dump. And I'm pretty sure that there was a standards and practices guy from CBS whose sole job was to sit there and monitor Howard's broadcast before it went out to the affiliates, who also had a dump. In other words, I think there were six different people or five different people who had a delay. So it is with Imus. Imus had one. I'm pretty sure that Bernie McGurk had one. And the PD had one. And I believe that MSNBC probably had one as well. None of them dumped it, including Imus's superiors. And his whole point is, which I believe has some legal merit, his whole point is they didn't dump it. Therefore, it is an implicit advocacy of what he was saying. That it is sort of...
Right, that's what his lawyer is saying.
Yeah, it was a de facto acknowledgement that what he was saying was acceptable to them.
Right, so that's what his lawyer is saying now. And instead of wanting $40 million, that won't be...
Well, all right. Why do I suspect we're going to be told to cut back on office supply use at some point in the immediate future?
They'll take away one of our buttons.
Seriously. Let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to elaborate on the cow catcher thing for you.
Yes, sir.
Not so much a catcher as tosses it out of the way so it doesn't go underneath the train and potentially derail it.
Oh, that's unpleasant. And the idea that a train could be derailed by running over some big, greasy cow. Yeah, that's
more tosses debris, about anything that's in the way, kind of pushes it off to the side.
So it might also, so not just a cow catcher, but also like a this idiot guy with an iPod catcher.
Yeah, or a car catcher, or motorcycle catcher, or,
Fantastic. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, there you go. All right.
Oh, this was invented in England, so maybe their cows are smaller.
Yeah. No, this is another one. Rick, the purpose of the cow catcher was not to give the cow a chance, but to protect the train from being damaged by the cow. Damn cow. All right, no, that does make sense now that I think about it. Because you know what, like, little bits of ground-up cow getting underneath the train, that's going to cause all kinds of, problems. All right, fantastic. I'll do a couple more here, and then we'll break, and we'll come back around the corner.
I'm not sure if I have a couple. Oh, yes, I do. Britney Spears is back on track with a mini-tour of sorts, and apparently plans to hit San Francisco next week. A San Francisco Chronicle reports... The Red Devil Lounge's website showed a concert listed for Britney's newly acquired, the M&Ms, and later changed it to Close, Private Function. The San Francisco-based lounge and club claimed they knew nothing about it and weren't allowed to say anything else. Brittany launched her comeback show Tuesday in San Diego, sporting a short denim skirt, knee-high boots, a long brown wig, and a sparky pink bra.
Boy, that just sounds like the worst outfit ever.
And that bra is just totally trashy. Like, it's just a plain pink, like, just ghetto-looking bra.
It's hard to believe. I can't. I wonder how long till CBS tells us we can't refer to things as being ghetto. The Brittany, she, who was it that was, it was Bruce who was calling in early? This show has already seemed like it's about 4 hours long today. I mean, I'm just saying, like, the show
is like never ending. It's only 1 o'clock.
I haven't even had lunch yet. I'm not saying the show's dragging. I'm really not.
It feels like we've been here forever. Doesn't it? I think with Nellie Olson or whatever her name was.
You having a bad day?
No, I'm glad that you feel the same way I do. No, it's not that I don't like being here. It's that it does feel like we've been here for
I
hours.
Love being here. I never want to go home. You know what it is? It's that we had Nellie Olson in the first hour, and so you know what it is? It feels like today's show is some kind of Mobius strip that's folded in on itself. You know what it is? Today's show feels like Pulp Fiction, where we sort of started in hour number three, and now we're in hour number two. And then, like, next hour is going to be hour number one or something. It seems like today's show is all out of order, which is why it seems like it ought to be about 2:30. Maybe Bruce was calling in, I don't know, 8-9 hours ago when we first started. He was making an observation about how if they ever wanted to put the show on MSNBC, I got to get somebody to dress me because I can't be allowed to do it myself.
It might have been over by now if it was on MSNBC.
Seriously, it'd be like
Pepper Tucker Carlson.
Man, Tucker Carlson's wife is weird looking, though. I didn't get to finish.
Is that the best he could do?
I think the answer is yes. I mean, I think that
some guys like those types of women.
And by some guys, you mean Tucker Carlson.
Right.
No, she's just
an earthy type of woman.
Earthy. She's very organic. She's a free spirit. No, she just looks... First of all, she looks like she's about 500 years old, and she's got this weird, and she's really, is it the deal that he's a real conservative and she's a liberal? Is that the deal? Or is she a conservative?
I think she is, too.
Okay, well, whatever. And she's got this weird school marm look about her, and she's got this one eye that's always, like, a little bit more open than the other and sort of, like, bulges out a little bit like she's the crypt keeper or something. She just looks very strange. And that guy... I don't know the deal with him. Tucker Carlson just, and I can't believe I'm spending all this time talking about Tucker Carlson. He just puts off just such a bizarre vibe. I just can't get a handle on what kind of personality he has. And I'll never get past it, him doing those jazz hands when he was on that, he's Dancing with the Stars or whatever, and he's doing that, you know.
Oh,
no
wonder his father was a longtime anchor man on local news in Los Angeles and San Diego.
So he comes from a bizarre show business family. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had some observation I was going to make about something, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but just how if I was ever to be on television again, I can't be allowed to dress myself. Britney Spears shouldn't be allowed to dress herself.
Wow, his Absolutely. Mom is the heir to the Swanson frozen food fortune.
Is that Gloria Swanson? No, that's not Gloria Swanson. Gloria Swanson is somebody else.
Yeah, that's somebody else. Her name is Patricia Catherine Swanson.
Okay. And so he is or his mom is?
His mom is.
All right. So that means once his mom kicks it, then that he gets it.
Right.
All right. So this is like we were talking about Mike Nesmith being the heir to the liquid paper fortune. But what's the problem is that Britney is clearly, she's old enough and has enough money and sort of perceived fame that there's nobody around to tell her no. And so she's doing all these idiot things like dressing herself, which she shouldn't be allowed to do because she obviously, there's good trashy and there's bad trashy. Dolly Parton, good trashy. Britney Spears a few years ago, good trashy. Britney Spears now, just bad. It's sort of like what I imagine, whatever, Miss Scappoose or whatever the hell her name is, it looked like it, before Playboy probably got a hold of her and buffed off some of her rougher edges. You know, here's the other thing. I'm looking at this, whatever her name is, blah, 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 Jean Brown or whatever her name is, this the new Playmate of the Year from Scappoose. She's so airbrushed, she almost doesn't appear to have any features on her face. Like,
her nose is really tiny, and she's really tan.
She doesn't really have a nose. She has what Tim Ryan would call breathing holes in front of her face. She just sort of looks like one of Clyde's alien grays. She's kind of an alien blonde. All right, we should break here. We'll come back. Around the corner, Bob Noodles Costantini. We'll have more from Tim Riley. Top five coming up later on. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Show.
You need a hug. Should I get Christine in here?
No. I need some coffee. Why did I again forget to get coffee during the break?
You got some on mine?
You know, well, I'll get some. There's no cream. That's the point. Life is hard. No Alice Cooper, no cream.
There is no cream. Yeah, black and murky.
All right. Well, and I forgot to fill up my Nalgene bottle. Is it Nalgene or Nalgene? Am I really talking about this? This is what happens when I don't have coffee at 1 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. CNN radio correspondent and man about town, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
How's life, my brother? How are things in the city that never sleeps?
Well, remember I once told you we only have about 4 weeks of good weather for the entire year?
Has that time passed?
No, we have one of those days right now.
Excellent.
We're just outside.
Maybe we're trading, because I got to tell you, man, it's May in Portland, and it really ought to be beautiful, and we had hail the size of canned hams yesterday.
Ah, see, we've traded.
So so what is the weather like exactly there now?
72 and sunny.
Oh, all right. So, see, you got to... But then it turns, because then it's like 148 degrees, and everybody wants to kill themselves, right?
90% humidity, yeah.
Have fun with that.
It's great.
An entire city made out of concrete, too. That's going to be extra great. It's like walking around like you're on a bacon grill.
Exactly.
Oh, good God. All right, well, we don't have... We're just talking to our intrepid news director, Tim Riley, here, who just purchased stock in CBS Radio. And just in time, Don Imus looks like he... What is it? Is Imus going to be suing us? And by us, I mean us. Is he going to be suing CBS Radio, or is this just some noise he's making trying to get CBS to toss him some cash?
I think they're going to go through with this if they don't ante up a little bit of money, at least. He's got 4 years left on this contract, and he was being paid $10 million a year. So he's owed $40 million in his eye.
Right.
And he hired one of the nation's better-known civil rights attorneys for this, which is really interesting. But they're actually saying that this is just a breach of contract issue. It's not a First Amendment issue. The contract asks for Imus to be unique, extraordinary, irreverent, intellectual, topical, controversial, and personal character, and that programs of the same general type and nature containing these components are desired by the company.
So this is basically his point. Man, I got to get that put in my next contract.
You really should.
I really should. Is that so basically the contract language, if I'm reading this correctly, and I am not a barrister, the contract basically says that we want you to be kind of an ass, because that's what, you know, be smart, but be kind of a jerk, because that's what people listen for.
Right, as long as it's consistent with company rules and policies. And you know, and I know, because I used to work for a CBS-owned and operated radio station, there are very, very long, convoluted rules about what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable on the radio. And it's really open to interpretation. So that's what this attorney is going to argue here, that he didn't violate the company's rules and that the company wrongfully terminated Imus. You know, CBS had a similar situation a couple of years ago with the shock jocks, Opie and Anthony,
right.
that incident, and they CBS wound up having to pay those guys millions of dollars, even while they weren't working for the company afterwards.
Seriously.
Fired. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you figure Imus is maybe just trying to shake the tree enough that, you know, enough money comes down that he can just sit on that ranch and just drink Mai Tais for the next 4 years, you know what I mean?
With his cowboy hat, yeah.
Yeah, because if they even cough up 30% of this, you know, that's still $12 million, and that's enough just for, you know, for him to just sit there and stare off at nothing in particular while he's just hearing the cash machine ring, so.
Right, exactly.
All right, excellent. So
there's some other fallout from this, by the way. And you're hearing this right now, about an hour before it happens. Al Sharpton is actually going to be having a march here in New York. I remember how he was talking about record labels having to clean up their act as well, right? Well, he's going to be marching to the headquarters of, amongst several record labels, Sony, and then the march will end up here at the Time Warner Center, where CNN studios are, because they want the record companies to have some corporate responsibility and put an end to lyrics that are racist, sexist, and homophobic.
Yeah, not going to happen, and I think we've already passed the shelf life of people caring about Al Sharpton, at least this year. I think he's going to have to go back in the hibernation for another, I don't know, you know, another 3-4 years, something like this will happen again, and then they'll care about his thoughts on it again. But I think he's, you know, he kind of got his right hook in there on this, and I think now people are back to the people have moved on, and they're thinking about something else right now. So
he has been on the news a lot. You're right.
He has, you know, again, and I think the thing about Al Sharpton is, he's such a great orator, and he is a real silver-tongued speaker in many ways. He is able to string together, like he spoke at the Democratic, you know, he spoke at the Democratic National Convention in 2004 on, I think, opening night or something, and he was really one of the best speakers there, just fiery and just very colorful and very mellifluous in the way that he spoke. But, you know, the problem with a guy like that, though, is that it's very easy for him to just, it's very easy for people to get their fill of a guy like that pretty quickly and then just sort of mentally move on. So I think he's overplaying his hand, and this march is going to be underattended, and we're going to go back to caring about, you know, going to go back to caring about American Idol or, you know, whatever. So, all right, my friend.
Gaia, right, yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your New York afternoon, and have something tasty and fattening for me, and I'm sure we will be speaking with you in the near future, my friend.
I look forward to it. Thanks.
Steve Kastenbaum from CNN Radio, New York. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We got to get our man Seamus here in a second. We got to get Kevin in a second. We got to talk about the Marconi thing. Sarah's on the Marconi show yesterday. We got to talk about, I will today without fail get to this Brian and Janet thing. It's this friend of my wife's who has, she wants to know, it's like relationship. I mean, it sounds like I said it, but it's really not. I swear to God, my wife's friend went out with this guy that she met on Match.com. And so she has given me this, like, point-by-point, bullet-point breakout of exactly what went down.
And on the date?
And then she has six small follow-up questions that she wants.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, so we'll get that. Before we do anything else, I got to get some water. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. 503-P-by-70. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, I'm going to be consuming this coffee so I can be vivacious and energetic once again. In the meantime, in between time, let's talk to our good friend Seamus, who listens to us via the interwebs in Colorado. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up, brother man?
Seamus.
We got some great bike weather out here in Denver, you know?
Do you know? Yes. This is the...
Yeah, he has the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Here's the thing. Let me just talk about bicycling for a second, because I've gotten several of these sort of snarky, scornful emails over the last couple of days. Let me say, there is hail out there the size of softballs. Had I been bicycling yesterday, I might well have been killed by falling chunks of ice that were just careening out of the heavens toward the ground at a great velocity. So I think I can be... I think I can be excused for not biking the last couple of days, my friend.
What about for the past, like, 5 months?
Well, here's the thing. I'm a busy man. I've got things to do and places to go and people to see. And, man,
you don't have anything to do. What are you talking about? You come to work, you sit on your ass for 8 hours, and then you go home and, like, sit and eat, and that's it.
Yeah, my car's got seat warmers, baby. I paid hundreds of dollars for those seat warmers. You press the button, and then your ass just feels like...
Yeah, it's going to have a lot more to warm if you don't get on your freaking bike.
It is. It really is true. After it's so like a supplemental element underneath there to get the honorary third buttock that I'll have. So, all right. Well, how can I help you today, my friend?
Well, you know, not to be a hypocrite, because, I mean, I bought a real nice mountain bike, and then I went out and I said, you know, screw it, there's too many hills here, so I haven't ridden it in like a year, so. But, you know, the other day you were talking about, you know, all these, who, you know, it's okay to be fat, just, you know, quit complaining about how you're all fat and not doing anything
just
about it.
Embrace your nature.
Yeah, and then I started thinking, you know, I hear you on the air all this, counting your calories and talking about, you know, your pant size and wishing you were in shape. And then I remember back to December when you said, you know, I'm going to slack off this whole month and I'll really get back to riding my bike in January. And that's like May.
I did have this whole plan that December I was going to take a month off from health. I was going to eat badly. I was going to drive everywhere. Even if I had to go somewhere that was 30 feet from my house, I was going to drive there. And then I did have this grand scheme that once January 1st rolled around, that I was going to start biking everywhere. And that didn't
Oh, my
really,
God, that's 5 months. I just realized that.
Yes, it is, Sarah.
When is the last time you even touched your bike?
I rode, on Saturday, I
That's a lie.
It's not a lie. It is not a lie, but it's also true to say that that's the only time I've rode my bike in the last, like, 6 weeks. So, no, I've done nothing. So what do you want from my life? I haven't bicycled, so crucify me.
Well, you know, we're just concerned about your health is all. And, you know, we think that maybe, you know, if you're out there biking every day, you're probably not going to have any more of those mental breakdowns, like, around January, you know?
Yeah, that was a dark period.
All right, where are we going with this?
Well, so, you know, we put together a site. And I'm, you know, a couple of bucks every day that you actually bike to work over the next year.
I'm not saying, Sarah, do you...
Yeah, wait, let me read... Can I read this, Seamus, do you mind?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So this is an open letter to you, Rick Emerson.
From whom?
From a glorious bastard.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In December of 2006, you decided that you would drive to work and disregard a healthy diet until January when you plan to get yourself in gear. It's now May of 2007, and I do not believe you've bicycled to the studio a single time. Each day, your army of glorious bastards must suffer your self-loathing rants and complaints about your health and appearance alongside the inevitable comment that you failed to ride your bike to work again. Uh-huh. I wish to help to provide you with the encouragement you so obviously need in this process. I also wish to help the retarded whom with the Rick Emerson audience cares so deeply about.
It's true.
To this end, I am personally pledging $520, which I will donate to the Special Olympics of Oregon in your name, Rick Emerson. I will donate this amount on May 14th of 2008. However, this donation will be decreased by $2 each broadcast day that you fail to bicycle to the studio.
Oh, great.
Beginning with the morning of May 14th of 2007.
Great. Thanks so much.
Sarah, Tim, or Scotty must confirm that you bicycled that day for it to actually count.
So if I don't, so what is today? Today's May what? Today's May 4th? 3rd? Something like that?
Third.
Today's May 3rd. So it's, I'm unclear about it. So there's $520
so
essentially.
So you are basically, if you don't ride your bike, you're basically stealing from the retarded.
I'm basically kicking the retarded down a flight of stairs. So there is essentially $520 you have put, what, like an escrow or something, that will be given to the retarded, to the differently retarded.
And this was written by Mr. Seamus, who we have on the phone right now.
And so it's $520, and that's if I bicycle, what, each weekday for that 1 year period?
Well, yes. You know, remember those dumb things, you know, when you were in school and it was, you know, you'd go around getting people to pledge a nickel every lap you did around the track or something for charity.
Right.
Kind of like that, except if you want to bike.
And so if I don't bike?
Kind of donating to that to get you on that bike. And we've got, if you look at the page we put up, we've got Scotty J pledging, we've got Mailman Chris.
But it's like a reverse pledge, right? So that if I don't bicycle on a given day, I'm essentially taking money away from the retarded.
Exactly.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate that, ass.
And here's the website, emersonchallenge.blogspot.com. So what he's saying is that he wants to
Hold
give
on.
This money.
I have to go there now. What is it?
Emersonchallenge.blogspot.com.
Emersonchallenge.blogspot.com. Emersonchallenge.blogspot.com. The phrase, too much time on one's hands, does really come to mind.
This last paragraph is the best thing ever.
Help Rick and help the retarded.
Mr. Emerson, I challenge you to think of the retarded children. These brave, big-hearted, special children overcome great challenges to develop their talents and compete with each other in events demanding extraordinary physical and mental exertion. The least you can do is not screw them over by having the bravery, heart, and dedication to put down the car keys, set that ass on the bicycle seat, and pedal to the studio.
Okay, now listen to this. Okay, thank you, ass. You've put up the... There's this, it's called a Richtardometer, Richtardometer, and it actually says, this is what it says, it's like a running tally, and it says, right now it's at zero, but it says, Rick has screwed retarded kids out of blank dollars. Now, of course, right now it's at zero, but so if I don't, like, so let's say that, like, on, like a random Tuesday, I don't bicycle to work, that will go up by $2?
Well, at the moment, we've got about $2.45 per day pledged, counting Mailman Chris and Scotty Payne.
Oh, wait, let me understand this. So the more people pledge, the more I'm screwing retarded children out of every day that I don't bicycle?
That's right.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
This is the greatest idea ever.
But it doesn't start now. Like,
it starts on the 14th.
It's not, which is when? When is the, is that a week from Monday? When is the 14th?
7th.
Because you can't be, I can't be like retroactively
Monday,
responsible.
That's not next Monday, but the Monday after.
So it's a week from this coming Monday.
Yes.
It's a week from Monday.
And that's just
when
it's
second. I didn't want to throw you into it too quick.
No, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. You wanted to ease me into it before you start holding my feet to the fire and holding me responsible for little Timmy not getting a wooden leg or whatever it is that he needs. Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Is that, Sarah, I'm assuming you've already posted that to your blog, or you will be?
Oh, yes, I will.
All right, thanks.
That is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Is this because of that adult store commercial we ran with the fake Irish accent and the guy named Seamus? Is that why this is happening to me?
No, the audience, we just, you know, we love you and we want to have you around to listen to a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and honestly, you sound like a girl when you talk about counting your calories.
Thanks so much.
No, well,
I love you, man.
Yeah, you know, my car insurance has been canceled anyway, so really, all right. All right. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, wait. Hold on. This is David. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Seamus the Ass from Colorado. How can I help you, sir?
Well, first of all, I love him. This is fantastic. How do I pledge?
If you just go to the emersonchallenge.blogspot.com, just click on the email link and send me a message with what you want to.
Yeah,
so you should click on the email. All right, great. Thanks.
Okay, everybody else, hop on.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just great. Automatically put that at the top of my link page on my...
Yeah, you do that. All
no
right,
problem.
Excellent. All right.
Anything for you.
All right, is there anything else? Anything else? Would you like to insult my mother? Maybe just give me a virtual kick in the groin while you're here, Seamus?
No, the only thing I wanted to mention is I sent... Scotty emailed me earlier saying I should put up a petition for Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
I sent a link to him, and I think I sent you a copy as well.
Oh, really? Okay, well that will actually mitigate my hate for you ever so slightly if you've created an Alice Cooper.
Oh, you know that our show would be nothing without Seamus.
No, it's true, but I'm just. Why do I have to help
the
retarded?
I don't sit here and complain about my weight and just bitch about my
weight. That's not true.
I do off
you
the
complain
air.
About your weight constantly because
yeah,
no one hears
air.
It because
I
you
know.
Turn the microphone off.
Exactly. So you should learn
Hussie.
To turn your mic off.
All right.
Oh, Hussie.
Sarah actually rides her bike, though.
Yeah.
Were you riding your bike to meet with Marconi yesterday?
Oh. Oh, and that's where it's coming
getting
from.
Getting in shape for the Marconi show? Is that what that's all about?
Okay, all right, I see where you're lashing out.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll, I'll take it under advisement, Dick.
Take care, guys.
We love you,
Seamus. Thank you, Seamus. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Thanks so much.
What was it, Emerson Challenge?
I don't remember.
.blogspot.com?
It's slid my mind. I don't remember what the URL was. All right. Let me just get these, and then we'll... And we got it's 1:30. For the love of God, James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How's it going, Rick? Hey.
Oh, you know, plunge on ahead. How can I help you?
Sure, get on that bike.
Yeah, I'll get right. And of course, it has to be for retarded children. It can't be for somebody that I could just safely ignore because you know, the higher this goes,
ignore.
I'm just gonna. Well, I mean, I guess I could safely ignore them, but Seamus. Well, you know, unlike probably the kids in the Special Olympics, Seamus can work a computer and knows how to come find me. So that's...
That'd be hypocritical if you didn't. You're always asking people to help the retarded every day.
Asking people to do it so I don't have to. All right. How can I assist you, sir?
Well, I was just in Southeast, like Belmont and Grand, and there's a guy standing on the sidewalk with a big cardboard sign with a hole cut out for his face with the letters... See if you can hit me with a quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is that at?
What's that?
Where is it at?
Southeast Belmont and Grand.
That is fantastic.
So I actually had a green light for one.
Did you do it?
Well, I couldn't pick out. I just dug in my pocket for some change and like chucked left-handed like four or five coins. Not even sure like
what I had, you know.
And silver
didn't
dollar.
Really even come close. Kind of scattered about the sidewalk, you know.
Fantastic.
That really
is great. That really is what I mean. You just you know reach in and get your handful of Sacagawea dollars. Chuck right at him.
That was great. I thought it was, you know, very ingenious and, like, interactive, you know? It was excellent.
All right, well, people should definitely go check that guy out. He's on Belmont and Grand. He's asking you to hit him with a quarter. Man, I'm going to do that on the way home. That's going to cheer me up after this whole day about Alice Cooper and retarded kids.
You just get, like, a roll of quarters and chuck it at him.
No, that would be wrong. Thank you, sir.
Okay, see ya.
There you go. That's James.
I don't know what to call the link.
The link to what?
To that EmersonChallenge.blogspot.com.
Are you still talking about that? That was like an hour ago. We're moving
on. I just called it Help Rick Not Be So Fat.
Help Rick Help the Retarded.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. And so forth. I have nothing to say. Back after this, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Your phone calls later on. More from people and things about stuff here. Don't go anywhere. That show in a while, though. She had an awkward, I mean, it's...
You still have the hat?
The hat? The bathrobe?
I thought you had a Gilmore Girls hat.
I have a Gilmore Girls bathrobe that is butter soft. Hi. I also have that autographed. I'm unclear about whether it's a real autograph, but I don't care. And if it's not a real autograph, I don't want to know. That Aram got me when he was working at Aram and Nate got me when they were working at the WB. And it's that Gilmore Girls poster, which I believe is autographed by Laura. It's definitely a woman's handwriting by Lauren Graham. It says, make this Gilmore Girl a woman. I still got that in my basement.
You sure it's not Richard Dunn's signature?
Well, he does have girlish, delicate handwriting, but I'm pretty sure that it's a woman's handwriting. It may not be Lauren Graham. I do have my Gilmore Girls bathrobe, and yes, I do wear it around the house.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, it's time to send women to do a man's job. The Oregon tradeswomen are recruiting candidates for high-paying jobs. And jobs that, well, traditionally men do. They're looking for lady electricians, plumbers, and welders. And they're having a career fair this weekend.
Get out your polka dot bandanas.
Mm-hmm. From 9 to 3. And they have a website. Apparently, there are not enough women are becoming welders, and they really need them.
But make sure that you bicycle to work and take like a 14-mile route and have some sort of synth pop playing underneath you while you do that.
They're also looking for women to climb telephone poles, too.
Really?
Yeah. There's free parking, free childcare, free admission.
It seems like there should be some joke here that I ought to make.
I know. I keep throwing more lines out without any response.
I just hit my eyeglasses into the microphone just now. I'm sorry.
Sure, my half dozen lines.
So many first. I can hear
an easy one.
I can hear the disappointment in your voice.
There's just no interest from that side of the counter. Maybe I'll do some actual news there.
I don't know what I would say. Women welder, I barely knew her. Women climbing poles. See, and again, I know there's something there. It's like seeing fish just underneath the surface of a frozen over pond. I can tell the joke is there. I just can't quite reach it. I'll tell you what, we'll turn it over to the audience. Would you just read just the highlights?
It's all gone now.
Oh.
I thought we were done with this.
I'm sorry to have let you down. I was going to turn it over to the audience and have them come up with zany punchlines.
Oh.
Well, I'm sorry to do
this. Maybe some other show.
Okay. Maybe Marconi can do it this afternoon. Sarah, would you like to help him out with that, maybe?
You're such a jerk.
Okay.
You told me it was okay.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't have said yes if you really meant no.
You realize how... Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a gang stripped a South African man before gluing him to his exercise bike while they ransacked his house. The attackers, dressed in suits, hijacked the man in his 50s and forced him at gunpoint to take them to his home. They forced him to strip, after which he was super glued to the seat of an exercise bicycle, his hands super glued, as were his feet, and his mouth was super glued shut.
But where he's,
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Maybe they ran out of glue by
then. No, that's what I glue first. I mean, isn't that really the first thing you glue?
I mean, I don't do this on a regular basis.
It's not how you spend your weekends. What should
we do?
I'm
not living in Vancouver.
I don't know. Let's glue someone to an exercise bicycle by his scrotum. See, I guess really there's no way to know. There's really no way to know until you actually do it. How one exactly would glue a nude man to an exercise bicycle? I'm saying, were it me. See, I'm trying to overcompensate for the fact that I failed on that Jennifer Beals joke earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, why do you... If you glue a guy's junk to the seat of an exercise bicycle, it seems like you probably don't have to glue anything else. That sort of does all the work in one fell swoop there. All right.
Time for Brittany Watch.
Here's your Brittany Watch. Really?
Yes, really.
For Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Now, last night was their second big comeback appearance. It was a 15-minute long running through the motion show at the House of Blues in Anaheim. Who knew they had one?
Now, this is... Okay, are we reading
the Anaheim House of Blues?
What do people in Anaheim have the blues about?
I don't know.
What could they buy? This Frappuccino is warm. What could they possibly have the blues about?
I don't know.
This e-ticket isn't getting me into Toontown quite fast enough. See? That's funny.
That is. You sons of bitches.
It was
amusing.
I can be funny when it comes to news stories.
Yes, you can.
Just because I failed a few stories back doesn't mean I'm failing now.
Mm-hmm.
F you all.
Well, somebody threw a marshmallow-sized object at Britney during her last song. It nearly hit her. Her bodyguard became concerned and whisked her off the stage. She was just as loquacious as the night before, simply telling the crowd on Wednesday, "Thank you so much." Many of the audience felt cheated by the former pop star. Not only did she fully lip-sync her way through every song, but concertgoers say Britney didn't even perform full versions of their hits. They were weird, shortened mixes.
So she's just doing 90-second versions of her songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the hooks that you ordered from iTunes.
Totally.
They lined up a whole bunch of those.
It's exactly. Was it you that was telling me that that's really all you need? Just the hook.
Yeah.
Just download. Well, you know that we're raising, and I know I sound like an old guy here, but we're raising a whole generation of children who are just, that's all they're going to care about is the hook, because you go to iTunes and they just play those 30-second segments. But you know what? The irony is, the going to iTunes and listening to those 30-second hooks that they offer you is going to make kids more acclimated to be survey audiences for radio stations, because that's what music radio stations do, is they get a bunch of nitwits in an auditorium.
I don't think kids will know what a radio station is.
A radio station was a thing that used to play music.
It came out of a speaker.
They
chose the music.
Radio stations will get all, they'll just get a bunch of nitwits for like $5 and like some like a TV dinner, and they'll put them in a gymnasium, and they'll just play a bunch of hooks for them, like 30-second hooks, and then you rate them, you know, a scale of 1 to 5, and that's how radio stations to say. If you ever wonder why radio stations just constantly play like lowest common denominator dreck and swill, that's why, because it's just idiots who are there for $5 deciding what music you're going to hear. But iTunes is perfectly, you know, and can I tell you this? You know that there are radio stations now online, and don't ask me, but
are
you
there secret stations?
There's secret stations between, there's secret stations on the dial between the regular stations. If you're
whatever that means.
If you're a Kink listener and you need to hear an acoustic version of that Robert Cray song, these radio stations now, that it's the weirdest thing. There are these radio stations online that play versions of pop songs. I mean, it is current pop songs, but they're edited down to be no more than 60 seconds long. It's weird. I meant to actually do the talk about this a few weeks ago, and then I kind of forgot about it. Wired Magazine did a whole piece on it. And it's not like covers of the songs. It's the original version. So they'll take, like, a Britney song and whatever, a Lynyrd Skynyrd song and a Michael Jackson song and a Bob Seger song, and they're edited down to be 60-second versions of the song. And it's like this weird short attention span theater. It's just the weirdest thing to listen to a 60-second version of a well-known song, and then they move on to the next one. It's very strange.
So meanwhile, this Britney lip-syncing to the song Toxic, she said, quote, I guess this is part of the song, "I need a hit. Baby, give me it." Britney did the cocaine move, putting her finger to her nose, pretending she was doing a lump of coal, or that should be a lump of coke, I guess, and then gave a cheeky smile.
"You've been a bad girl. No drugs for you. You have to snort coal." Ho, ho, ho.
Have I made up for the lack of a pole climbing joke earlier?
I was even more than amused at that one. I felt like I was at a professional stand-up comedy show.
Am I being made the object of fun?
I thought this was a fun program.
It is. Sometimes. I'm just waiting for you to go on with the story.
Oh, I thought you had more to continue.
No, I'm not going
to
make any jokes.
So you need to do everything in your Santa Claus voice.
I'm not going to make any more jokes about the story. I'm done.
Well, that's the end of the story. Wait a minute. Let me make sure. Oh, there are also costume changes by Spears and the backup singers. Now, Spears is expected to also perform at several other House of Blues locations in the next week or so. The 25's last major show was in Dublin, Ireland. That was part of her Oinks Hotel tour of June 2004. The concert was cut short when she hurt her knee.
Fell. That's the one where she fell on the sidewalk out front. Yeah, I remember that. It was on video, I think. All right.
Two fans in the audience last night reportedly wore T-shirts that read Bald Ambition on the front and the Comeback 2007 on the back.
Plant. All right, there's your Britney watch. Thursday.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
See, this is what this email just says. Women on poles, I've got a pole they can climb. See, that's... And then he actually signed it Z. So there you go. That's see, that, I wasn't going to engage in that sort of... I wasn't going to do that. Rick, I like you fat. I'm going to take odds against a cyclothon. For every day you don't run your... for every day you do not run... For every day you don't bike, I
know how you feel. It happens to me all the time.
I can't even...
30 times for an hour at a time.
I can't even read this. There's just something about he's bribing me with easy cheese. How about this? You want to hear this? Listen, this is why I love this audience. Listen to this email. Only our audience would ever write this email. We were talking about Celine Dion, who is no longer going to be performing at Caesar's Castle, Caesar's Palace, whatever the hell it is. Is this whole show just suddenly taking a weird left turn with my inability to speak? We're talking about Celine Dion, who's no longer going to be performing in Vegas, going to be Bette Midler. And I don't understand why I uncorked all of this weird Bette Midler hate. All of these, I swear to God, I got an email. I don't have it in front of me, but I hope Bette Midler dies in a plane crash and then burns alive. You know, it's just like this weird anti-Midler. Who can hate Bette Midler? I don't understand anybody.
Evil people.
Seriously, if you hate Bette Midler, you're a bad person. Anyway, this email says, rumor has it that Celine Dion is going off to try to procreate more bastard children.
See, that's a woman you should hate.
Okay, that's to get through this email. It's all I can do not to laugh. Rumor has it that Celine Dion is going off to try to procreate more bastard children with her aging husband's cancer-ridden sperm. Best audience ever. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Bette Midler is fantastic. Yes, she is. She's fantastic and fabulous. Speaking of seeing things, Rick, I got a few of these. Rick, I just found out via email that I won some of those Carlin tickets that AM970 is giving away to its glorious Bastards Club. I just signed up a couple of days ago, and I found out I won the tickets today. Fantastic. And then he says, listen to this now. He says, I will make sure I double my Vizo intake. I head to EcoPDX for new furniture, mix my next album at Super Digital, and head to Everybody's Garden Center so I can start up the garden I've always wanted. Maybe I will even call up the insurance guy to get a quote on my new car insurance policy. Actually, scratch that. I have an excellent rate due to my wonderful driving record. Thanks to the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, I am going to see George Carlin, proud glorious bastard, Tom in Beaverton. So there you go. You can sign up to be a glorious bastard at 970.am. Here's Tim Riley with more stories for which I will fail to come up with an appropriate punchline.
Well, good luck nabbing tickets for tonight's midnight showings of Spider-Man 3 across this great land. Apparently, a Fandango has completely sold out of them, or at least 100 theaters across the country. In an apparent attempt to handle the demand, some theaters have added a 3 a.m. show. That's a rare move. Spider-Man has earned almost $30 million when it opened in Asia and Europea.
With Europea?
Spider-Man 3.
I was all prepared with a joke and then I couldn't figure out what language you were talking in.
Spider-Man 3 follows Spidey.
Santa loves Europea.
Which is Peter Parker's journey to the dark side and features two new villains. Venom, played by Topher Grace, and the Sandman, played by Thomas Hayden Church. Spider-Man 3 is directed by Sam Raimi. It also stars Tobey Maguire as Spidey. Kirsten Dunst, James DeFranco, Thomas Aiden Church, and James Cromwell.
Did you hear, Donna said that the greatest show last night, there was a rabbi on who had written a book called Up, Up, and Oy Vey. And it was a whole dissertation about which superheroes are Jewish and how you can tell. And apparently he believes that Spider-Man, or Spider-Man, as they were calling him, Spider-Man is Jewish.
From Europea?
From Europea. Is Spider-Man and Superman are apparently, now I'm doing it, apparently Superman, apparently Kal-El, which is Superman's given name, apparently that means like chariot of God or something, it's like Hebrew or whatever. I don't know where I'm going with this. Apparently, though, Benjamin Grimm, who is the Thing, apparently Benjamin Grimm is actually a Jewish lad. So the Thing is actually really an openly Jewish character. But then they believe that Spider-Man and all the... I can't. I'm out home. I'm out with the Spider-Mans. I'm just going to stop this now because I'm just going to keep talking on that voice all day then. Rick, I would like to pledge $1 per day towards the Helping the Retarded Thing. Okay. It's for the kids, and I know Rick won't let us down on the bike or the kids. On a hot... What do you mean I'm not going to let you down on the kids? A hot summer, rainy fall, and cold winter could certainly make it interesting. Here's my contact info. I am good for the money, and then thanks so much. He CC'd Seamus on that. Great. Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that. What do we have here? This is Jeff. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Good day. I just wanted to let you know that I've been listening to you last week from Bend, this week from Duffer, Oregon, which is up to 197, about 20-some miles.
Duffer?
Where the motto of Duffer, Oregon is, ask not what Duffer can do for you, but what you can do for Duffer.
is that really it?
No, I just made that up.
Okay.
I was going to ask, are there any excused absences from the bicycle riding that will still get you the pledge credit due to inclement weather that we may experience here in the Portland metro area?
And that's my thing. That's my thing with the bicycling, is I can't be expected to bicycle when there's snow on the ground or when there's, when the ground is covered with ice. And I also believe, obviously, that if I am out of town vacationing, or if I am perhaps gone due to failing health, perhaps for my increasing obesity, perhaps if my expanded ass and skyrocketing cholesterol have caused me to be bedridden, I think I ought to be excused, right?
I think while it would disappoint the retards,
don't call them that.
All right, then. You know, that would be a bad deal, you know, because you don't want to take it away from the children, you know.
I think that there ought to be, there ought to be some way to determine weather, because it's not always bicycling weather, right? I mean, there are simply days when it is not possible, reasonably speaking, to bicycle. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
So I think that there ought to be...
Well, especially since we both go, you know, live at the top of, you know, pretty close to Mount Tabor.
And
it's kind of slippery.
I don't think anybody will want me to suffer an injury. No one would wish to bring inadvertent harm to the host of this radio program.
There should be excused absences,
right.
And then you could come up with criteria. And by the way, about this Jewish superhero, is that the next Adam Sandler Hanukkah song?
Seriously. Apparently there is an actual Jewish superhero named Shalom Man. This is what the rabbi was saying yesterday. I wish I'd known it. But the book is called Up, Up, and Oy Vey. It really was fantastic. And now I'm just saying Spider-Man. All right, thank you, sir.
The city of Duffer, Oregon is known for its wheat threshing.
Really?
Its population in 2000 was 588 and rose to 590 in 2001. Among its many activities is the annual Duffer Threshing Bee, the second weekend of August. Each year since 1971, the citizens of Duffer have staged a threshing bee in honor of their history. Visitors can see horse-drawn antique harvesting equipment being used in the field. It is the only threshing event in the country that uses horses.
How proud they must be.
It offers working demonstrations of authentic horse-powered combines.
All right.
Ever since... Let's see. Oh, they have their own website for the threshing bee, too.
Let's all go. Wait, hold on. No, let's never go. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, is this Rick?
Yes, it is, Kevin. Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's up, brother? How can I help you today?
I figured if anybody would know where to get some tang around here, it'd be you.
Wait, hold on. Let me just, with the whole... All right, yes.
I realize this is... About an hour expired.
Yes.
But memory foam in the seats.
Oh, the astropedic memory foam thing if they're in zero gravity.
It's probably for the tremendous gravitational force they experience during liftoff.
Oh, no, that actually does make sense now that I think of it, because that's what, that's like 10 Gs or whatever.
I think people pass out at 5 Gs, so I would expect it's closer to that.
At 10, they just become a paste.
Right, although I'm certain that during the 4 hour or so wait in the meantime, it's got to be cushiony, downy, wonderful.
Yes, much like myself. Okay, so now that makes sense. I guess during liftoff, you wouldn't want to just have your spine against like a hard metal seat. That's probably not going to be a good idea, because that's going to reduce you to jelly. All right, yeah,
that's
no
good. Wicker pattern. You're never going to get off your back.
That's a phrase you don't hear too much. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. God bless you.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's Kevin.
It also says, at its height and zenith, the Tang Dynasty was the most popular empire in the world.
The Tang Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
I long to have a Tang Dynasty someday. All right. Okay. Let's see. Justin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Justin.
Hi.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey. I just wanted to give you my 2 cents on your bike riding situation.
This is when Rick rides for the retarded.
Yeah. Hey, I like the title.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking, actually, as it was proposed to you before you had actually mentioned, why don't you do like a 3 out of 5 days a week type of thing? Because sometimes you have lunches and you have meetings after work.
This is what I'm saying. I think, now again, it's not like I'm not trying to help. Thank you, Justin. It's not like I'm not trying to help the least of God's creatures.
I don't think you are.
The most heavily littered of God's creatures. No, but look, to be fair.
See, everything you end every show with and try to help the retarded, this is your chance to help the retarded.
Okay, now I'm not opposed to helping. Rick Emerson loves the retarded. Rick Emerson's crazy about the retarded. I'm just saying, it does seem like, now, to be fair, there are times when I have to be, let's say we get off the air at 3, there's somewhere I got to be at 3:30, and then I got to be somewhere else at like 4:15, and it's just not feasible for me to bicycle. There are times when, again, there's going to be snow on the ground. There's times when maybe I'm not feeling up to snuff, or perhaps...
Someone passed the clothes.
I am saying that instead of riding every day, I think that I ought to be, that maybe we're talking 3-4 days a week.
But Rick, doesn't Court from Court and Fat Boy ride every single day,
yeah,
rain or sleet?
Okay, but Court's, now again, I don't wish to diminish his role as DJ on Rock 101 KUFO, and he gave you that Chuck Palahniuk book, so I'm going to be nice to him. I'm just saying, Court's job duties, all he's got to do is come in here and do that. And let's be honest, he gets off the air midnight. Where does he possibly have to go at midnight? It's not like he has to go to some business lunch when he gets off the air. Court's duties, 90% of the time, Court's duties are limited to those of on-air personality. He comes here, he does the show, he goes home. And he doesn't do anything else. I'm not trying to be all about the glory of me. There are management duties. There are client meetings I sometimes have to go to.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we can have the listeners weigh in every day whether or not, you know, like, if they think that it was...
No, I'm not going to let the listeners vote on my daily, on my itinerary,
yeah,
every
and Justin,
day.
Justin, you shouldn't be talking about biking anyway, because I remember he bought a bike and never, ever rode it.
Well, but you're a postal. You walk everywhere. You got legs like a mountain goat.
That's true, and how did you find that out?
Your calves have been called shapely, I would imagine. That would just be my estimation. So I think we ought to say 3 days a week. Instead of 5 days a week, I think we ought to say 3 days a week. I think three is a nice round number to seize upon.
I like that. I like the way you think.
I am intrigued by your ideas and wish to subscribe to your newsletter. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
3 days sounds fine to me. That gives me 2 days a week that I can get things done. All right.
And then maybe there could be extra money for if you do make it up, make up for...
I can go... Okay, how about this? Let me just get this. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. Hi.
Yeah, Sarah rides in also, so how about she can donate some of her days that she rides into you, when you're having a hard time. You know, it's only fair she contributes a little bit also there.
Now we're just making this too complex. Now I feel like I need a ruler or something to figure this out.
Well, anyway, we love you. Thank you.
All right. Okay, let me ask you this. Can I earn days? In other words, if I bicycle all 5 days of 1 week, does that mean I only have to bicycle like 1 day the next week?
No.
Okay.
It's three minimum.
But I mean, do I get something for bicycling more?
You know exactly what happens. If you don't ride your bike every day, if you take a day off and you try to do it again, it's harder.
But I'm not required to ride 5 days a week.
No,
we will make allowances for the fact that sometimes there are things I have to do for which I need a car.
Well, then that's not to count for, you know, one of your 2 days.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So 3 days a week.
Yeah.
But there's two. In other words, so that again, accounts for the fact that a couple times every week there'll be someplace I have to be that I'm not able to bicycle to. All right. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, this is Ryan with the toilet, I guess.
With what?
Remember I had the toilet and the poop-covered cell phone?
Oh, yes. How can we ever forget the poop phone? Hello, sir.
Well, I wanted to weigh in this. My girlfriend, who actually donated the phone, she's a physical therapist assistant, so she does work with retards.
Yes. I'm sure that she'd be happy to put it that way in her resume, too. All right.
Well, I was thinking, you know, you want days off, but unfortunately the retards don't have days off from being retarded.
That's a bit of wisdom that probably cannot be put any more concisely, sir. There are no days off from being retarded. I understand that, but let's be honest. Let's be honest and speak as adults here. The retarded aren't going to a lot of business meetings. Can we just put it that way? Really, there are no three martini lunches for the enfeebled. So I'm not really sure that. I mean, they can bicycle every day. What else are they doing? I mean, just to be honest, just to speak openly about this. So I believe 3 days is a nice number that I can feel good about.
Yeah, I'd be willing to also donate more toilets and poop-covered cell phones to you if you wish.
God bless you, because there's really no limit on how many of those we need. All right, we're ending the call now. Thank you. All right, there you go. All right, that's Ryan. Do we have to break?
So much so.
We still haven't even played the Marconi thing from yesterday. The show needs to be like 9 hours long. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley returns within this hour. We'll talk about Sarah on the Marconi show yesterday. I got this advice that this friend of my wife's wanted. And so this is all very complex. We got to do all of this. We'll come back, get a handle on the way we return. Here's the business, the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Get all the breaks. Why, thanks so much. Apparently, the Film Fever Radio guys are recording a PSA this evening for the Rick Helps the Retarded fundraising. Thanks so much. 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, the Rick Emerson Show. Join us tomorrow when our guests will be Allison Arngrim, TV's Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie, and instead of Alice Cooper, Joey Pants.
Talking about how his mother used to hit him off in the head with his pasta dish.
Seriously. Talking about his mother used to pull out her own hair and cut herself. Gonna be good times. What are you? Hold on, Scotty. Please now to be coming to the studio. Please to be
Scotty J. This is David Jackson.
This Marconi thing.
Except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
I got a short mess up, Scotty. I'll do that.
Our intrepid PA, Scotty J, now joining us. Hi, Scotty.
Never been better, Rick.
I detect from your...
And that's how you were.
No, I just said hi.
How are you today, Rick?
I'm fine. A little
Are you sure?
How's that Alice Cooper thing coming?
Pretty good. I think we got a good chance in about 2 years.
Yeah, all right. What's up?
Just got word from the Joe camp.
Joey Pants?
Yes. And, They're not doing it now.
Has he canceled too?
No. What it was is we're on a 3-hour difference.
But you remembered that this time.
And I got right in there this morning, got my email. So
now we don't even have Joe Pantoliano?
So they're 3 hours ahead, and I opened up my email, which was from this morning, and it said, hey, this is the only time we have left. And I go, we'll take it. I mean, I didn't even think about it.
Let me guess.
And so he goes,
you didn't bother to look at the time zone.
No, it has nothing to do with the time zone. We're 3 hours behind, so
I understand that.
That email could have been sent to me, you know, an hour or two prior to my answering it or whatever. But
I have no idea what you're saying. So he confirmed.
Yeah, he only had a window in the morning, 11 o'clock Eastern I think it was like 10 o'clock Eastern to 12 o'clock Eastern.
I looked at the form, though, and it said, or later.
Right, because he ended up adding an extra hour.
Okay, I don't understand. How is it? How is it that?
Okay, there's Christ. Let's start over. Rick.
Alice Cooper was booked and then canceled.
Mm-hmm.
In his place, we booked Joe Pantoliano talking about how his mom used to burn him with an omelet maker or whatever.
Correct.
And now, how is it that that was confirmed? And now has been canceled.
Because he told me this spot is the only one you can have. I go, okay, I'll take it.
Which was 2:15.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll take it.
Now what
happens?
And
then I write back and he's like, sorry, between you answering that and this, he only had less than, let me see, a total of 15 time slots. 15 interviews. 10-minute interviews.
Was it ever, so wait, but it was never confirmed then?
It was, we had been talking back and forth for the last couple of days, and he was, like, pretty solidified that, yeah, you're not going to have a problem doing this at all.
At any point, had Joe Pantoliano's people ever said, yes, it's booked?
Well, no. Let me put it this way, Rick.
Before why did you... that was your good news this morning. You said the bad news.
The good news is that he cares about you.
Yeah, I love you. This guy gave me the time. He said, you can have this time. This is the only time I can give you. I mean, come on. Is that, am I booked or not?
No. No, the answer is no.
No, you're not.
No, it's never booked.
It's just a big game, and it's a joke. And so I got on the phone just, you know, in the last
hour. You call up and you rip Joe Pantoliano's people.
I talked to his people, and this guy's like, man, you know, we got him booked between radio and television. And, of course, we put the feelers out with this thing, with the paper.
You just picked up Isaiah Washington's picture.
Well, I'm giving you an example. The paper that they sent us saying, hey, talk to Joe. Do an interview opportunity.
Right.
Well, between radio and television, he's like, I don't even know if we're going to book television anymore. You radio people are so nice, and you, Scotty J, you're the first guy I'm going to call if something opens. And I go, well, I'll tell you what, I gave him
he's
the same...
He's got this ass he was canceling.
Yes, and I gave him the same song and dance about how all of our listeners...
Now we don't even have the backup yet.
We have Nelly. Oh, I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, yeah, let's say it louder.
Jinx it. Now think about this.
Say it louder for the universe here, Dishamore. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with Alison Arngrim?
She's coming in here in person.
That's what you're saying now.
I gotta say this to anybody out there. This is the toughest part of a job because you when all fails, you're the guy that they look at, and it's
yes, that's true.
What
we're
can
looking
I say?
At you now,
what can
Scotty?
I quit looking at me. Don't
we're looking
my
at you now with scorn.
What am I gonna say?
It's not his fault.
It makes me sick because these people are flakes. I'm not. I'll follow up until if I have to be here until 2:30 in the morning.
People make me sick.
Come on,
they'll get theirs.
They will.
All right. Well, we have to play the Marconi thing before you go, Scotty. Would you like to cheer the room up a little bit?
I could.
All right, Sarah. Why don't you go? You know what I'm talking about. All right, Sarah. We're just gonna sit here for a second. Scott, because I know that the Alice Cooper thing affects me more than it does you, Sarah. But I know that it's cast a pall over the show, so we're going to wait, and then Scotty's going to cheer us up.
He's going to cheer us up?
Yes, he is.
Is he going to dance for us?
No, hell no. Why would that
That'd
cheer
be
us
funny.
Up?
That's funny.
All right. Sarah, I would like you to look now at what's... And I have already seen this.
I can't see anything.
I know. He hasn't held it up yet. Okay. Wait for it, Scotty.
Okay. We got a drum roll.
We don't, because no one can see it. We're going to have to photograph this, Sarah, and you'll have to put it on your website so people can see it. And you will want to do that, by the way.
Okay.
Scotty, before you... Would you like to reveal how much you paid to have that done?
Probably a couple hundred.
So Scotty just paid several hundred dollars to have...
Several.
What I'm about to show you...
I would not pay several. I said
hundreds of dollars. Spent hundreds of dollars to create what he's now about to show you, Sarah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
I know
Go
what
ahead.
It is, I bet.
Go ahead.
Oh, jeez. Are you kidding?
Scotty has...
She's going to take a close-up look at it, huh?
All right. Scotty has had framed...
Set up your mantle?
All right, here's what it is. Scotty, if you remember after the listener party, Scotty had this photograph taken of himself with the barmaid's massive bosoms. There was a barmaid there wearing a very low, a well-endowed girl wearing a low-cut shirt. Scotty had a picture taken with his head. You can see this on his MySpace page, by the way. Scotty J. Rocks. MySpace.com/ScottyJRocks. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
MySpace.com/ScottyJRocks. You can see the picture of Scotty's head next to the barmaid's bosoms. Scotty has taken a huge, glossy photograph of that, along with the show banner, you know, the show party, one of his own business cards, and his laminate, and he has had them framed, matted, and mounted for hundreds of dollars.
Right, and since I can't get other stars on the show, I just put this together to promote myself.
I mean, you have that. Where are you possibly going to
put that?
Where would you hang that?
In the phone screener.
Are you
going to
hang that in your booth?
Sure.
Jesus. So, Sarah, you got to take a picture of that so we can post it. People, you can't appreciate how ridiculous.
Does he have a camera on your thingy?
I don't have my phone with me, no.
Okay.
You can't appreciate how ridiculous this looks. I mean, it's very professionally done, but it's just insane. It's the Emerson History X poster. One of your own business cards.
That is huge.
And then a huge picture of you with his barmaid's cans in this incredibly well-done, professionally matted and mounted and framed get-up. I mean, it's insane.
I am a professional.
It's just crazy. I mean, it's like framing a collection of stickers peeled off of beer cans or something. Beer bottles.
I already did that.
It's just madness. So, all right, I can't even convey to the audience how ridiculous it looks. And you're going to hang that in your booth?
Sure.
Nice.
Or in the hallway here
how
for all to admire.
That thing looks like it weighs about 20 pounds.
Seriously, I know, I can barely carry it.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just mess. It really is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right, well, let's play this Marconi thing. Let me find that.
Scotty going to hang out in here?
Yeah, Scotty, are you going to hang out?
Sure.
Just going to hang out and chill with us?
Yeah, I'm getting nothing done today, by the way.
I'd agree with that assessment. Through no fault of your own.
Scotty was the one who went on the skimmer and got this off of.
No. You did obtain this KUFO thing for us. I don't have time to play the whole thing, so we're not going to. This is just, now, how did this, let me just turn this on. How did this come about, Sarah, that you were on the Marconi show yesterday?
Jim had written to me, Big Jim.
For the Marconi show.
Yeah, and he had written to me and asked if I wanted to come on initially and do some segment about, like, people around the neighborhood. Or something, and then that fell through, and then he asked me yesterday if I wanted to come on and talk about dating and then do some soap opera things. I don't really know, but I like them. I trusted him.
Here's the only reason I asked. So this is a pre-taped or live that you did this?
This is live.
All right. Well, maybe I'll play it before passing any judgment, before making any comments about this.
Okay.
And I know that we did talk about
this. You're getting all possessive.
I'm just saying. We did talk about it before the show, and I was okay with it. No. And I said, you go ahead.
I know how mad you were about it. Yeah, I know how much you love the Greg thing.
Go over to the FM side.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, you know what this feels like? It's like you see this in every one of those movies. It's like all of those, where it's like so. Where, you know, it's like the couple, in the ice storm, where what's it? Kevin Kline and Joan Allen decide they're going to have an open relationship, and he thinks it's a great idea until she's out all night with a neighbor, and then he's just sitting at home like cleaning a gun. But you said it would bring us closer together. You said it turned you on. And then he's just at home, like, with a knife. All right, let's, this is Sarah on the Marconi yesterday.
101 KUFO.
Joining us in studio from across the hallway, she's a fellow broadcaster and probably, I would say, present company, Christine excluded, the loveliest broadcaster in Portland radio.
Oh, that's nice of you.
From the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, it's a little awkward.
Our sister station across the hall, Sarah Dillon.
Hello.
Wow, and like you were mentioning this off the air, we worked together in different buildings for, I don't know, for a long time.
Yeah, on and off, I think, for about 3 or 4 years, probably.
And I've never really actually spoken for more than, like, 5 minutes, maybe.
No, we did a polite, like, hi, hello thing.
Right.
But that's about it.
And I genuinely like you, but, you know, I've always thought, you know, she probably thinks I'm just, like, a complete tool.
Oh, why would I think that?
Let's all insert our own clever rejoinder here, shall we? Why would you think that, Sarah?
Why are you trying to make me feel awkward?
I'm not.
Because that's kind of the persona I had out there, especially before this job.
Oh, yeah, during the unpleasantness.
Right, yeah, down there. In the old days, you know, everybody in the building kind of hated me, and I think I've done what I can.
Well, and Jim and I helped soften your image.
Right, exactly.
We do.
Yeah, because
we go around putting out
my own workplace was a different environment.
Yes, it was for us too. Yeah. I'm very happy to be in this work environment.
Yeah, I know. And
you sound so polite. You sound so professional and cordial. I mean that sincerely. You sound very polite and very on your best behavior. All right.
We're glad that you guys are across the hall, Rick Emerson. I support local radio. And
it costs a lot.
I'm glad we mean kind of jealous of your sweet studio.
I know.
What's up?
I know.
You got a TV? What? I felt bad for Court and Fabric.
We totally have a television. It's not put in yet, but they were measuring it. We had a huge-ass Scotty J-style flat-screen TV to put it in.
That was their prep area.
Yeah.
And we ended up taking it over.
Yeah, it was their little office over there. Yeah.
It's
like a mini fridge and a guy playing a cello and you guys are on the air. Can I give you a foot rub?
Yeah, I don't even know what we're going to do. We're getting a flat-screen TV in there.
I know.
I don't know. I'm not complaining.
You know that everybody in the building kind of hates us.
They totally hate us.
And that's true.
But then I make up for the flat screen TV thing by pointing out the thing that they have that we don't.
FM signal.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The window, though, right?
Yes, that is.
Advertising budget.
We don't have that either.
Yes, interviews with rock stars that don't fall through.
Oh, that's
people who return their guest booking calls.
What can I say?
They got like 100 things that we don't have.
Yeah, look at this glorious DJ dungeon we have over here.
It's pretty. Hey, at least you have a window. We can't even tell what's going on.
Oh, yeah, that's a window. I have heard from several people, by the way, here at CBS, that we are the object of much envy and loathing because of the studio.
I can see why. It's awesome.
It's the best studio in the cluster. It's the best studio in all of CBS, in all three buildings here. And I don't say that. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's a simple fact. This is Jeff McGinley, and I don't mean to embarrass him. But he does refer to this as sort of like this is his masterpiece. This is his he may go on to build other studios, but this is sort of his Mona Lisa at the point. This is by everyone's acknowledgement. We work in the best studio of the entire CBS Radio Portland family. We have the best studio, period, hands down. So we are the object of a whole lot of envy because of that. It's just a fact.
Well, yeah. Of course not. Oh, yeah. Television.
Right. Jealousy does not look good on you, Sarah. It's all right.
Yeah, you have a window onto the world with the flat screen.
Okay.
Now, Sarah is a very lovely young woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Thing is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I heard.
You just play more than two seconds.
I heard that when I was on the road, and I'm like, all right.
What?
I heard that when I'm, like, driving down the road in Tualatin, and I'm like...
Why were you listening to KUFO?
You know what? I was actually...
Were you just randomly flipping around?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. So, should I just let this play, or should I skip ahead to something?
I think this
I'm
might
gonna
be...
go a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Hey, back off.
Not just lovely.
Creepy.
Shut her microphone off if you can. I would say that, but I have the control knob over here. See, that's the thing. If Sarah runs the ship over on the Emerson show, she's pushing the buttons, and the thing I kind of like that I could probably use on this show is when...
You want a button pusher?
Yeah, when it's time for him to shut her down, you play a music bed.
It's true.
To let him know.
It's nice to have the power to kind of stop talking a little bit.
So literally, he's a guy that people love to listen to, and you have the power to shut him up.
It's kind of empowering. I didn't really know how to respond to that.
Seriously, these are a lot of awkward questions.
No, it gets even worse.
All right.
But, no, you are
Sarah on the Marconi show.
You've done a lot of things in broadcasting in Portland, not only on the old stations on the other building, here with the Rick Emerson show, and then you were doing traffic on Coin 6 for a while.
Yeah, I was on Channel 6 for about a year, and then I couldn't take waking up at 4 a.m. anymore. It was so painful. I still can't even watch news that early because I was so grumpy and tired and miserable all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not an early morning person.
That's true.
And those days are over.
TV people are different people, aren't they?
They're a little different. Actually, all the people I worked with ended up going their separate ways and working at different companies now. So
you are so diplomatic. Listen to you. Ended up going their separate ways. You really got a career in management.
Nobody actually even really worked there.
Yeah, all the good people left there in that show that you were on.
Yeah, I know. All my buddies left, and then, replacements came in and changed.
I think they have a couple robots there. And then, the replacement that came back in, and you could never replace Sarah Dillon, let's make that clear. She's an Australian girl, and she kind of has a weird accent.
I can't tell if it's a fake Australian accent or a bad American thing. I don't know what she's doing.
I haven't seen her.
She has giant hands.
She's not.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah, giant hands. Oh, my God. She can palm a basketball and your hand.
Sarah, let's see your hand. What size are your hands? She's got normal hands.
Normal hands.
Is there an oddity about you?
I didn't really know what to say.
Is there an oddity about you?
I kind of flustered. I'm like, I had no idea. I'm like, I read
a third nibble. All right, this is Sarah on the Marconi show.
I got an extra toe.
Yeah.
No extra toes.
You're a classic beauty. You really are. Like you
look perfect. Yeah. Not even an
very photogenic, all that kind of stuff. You're far too good for radio. I don't know what you're doing in this business. But I think
Do I have any oddities?
Yeah, do you have do you not shave your toes? Like do you have toe hair, something like that?
I really don't. I don't know what you're fishing for, Marconi.
I do. I'll tell you flat out, my darling. I just want to know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Are you like a huge drunk? Do you just like your
internet gambling, bad relationship with your father, something like that?
I don't know.
Okay, that's just weird.
I didn't know how to answer. I was really thrown off.
Oh, that's just kind of strange. I'm all right. Never mind. I'm
Moving on. I don't know how I feel about that.
Right. I don't know. I'm a bit nutty. But other than that, I have an addiction to, like, celebrity gossip blogs and whatnot. And
yes, you do. Terrible.
I do go out quite a bit.
You gotta check out her website, sarahxdillon.com. It has a whole thing. She takes you're kind of.
Well, that's my problem, because I was ridiculed a lot in high school. So, I mean, that website kind of spawns from that, where I just spend all the time making fun of, celebrities and people, et cetera. I like that. Yeah.
That's good, though.
They need to be taken down a peg.
Just a little bit. Yeah,
now, have you thought of maybe doing a video blog? I mean, there'd be so many guys.
A video blog?
Would that creep you out too much? Because knowing that every guy in the world would be like, oh my God,
in
my
world, guy in the world. It's very nice of you to say, but no,
hundreds of millions.
I wouldn't even know how to go about making a video blog. What do you even do for that?
I will hook it up for you, Sarah.
Okay, Mark, and we'll do one together.
Right out. Oh, hey now.
Is there a blog?
No, Sarah is a very nice girl.
And not in a naughty way. What are you responding to there? Is that Marconi or Jim?
No, because I said we could do one together, and then it sounded wrong.
Who would you say was the most lecherous of the three people on the show?
I don't think any of them were lecherous. They seem to be playing the characters, you know?
Really? All right.
Yeah.
You have a boyfriend. How long have you been going out?
I actually don't have a boyfriend.
Oh. Awkward.
Wow. Hold on a second.
How
long have you been single?
For about 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Have you been going on dates already and everything?
Yeah, I've been dating.
So,
what's interesting?
What is a guy? Because there's...
This is bad. I kind of regret saying this.
Guys.
I've worked with all guys.
Yeah. Do you prefer that? Do you go along with guys better?
Yeah, I haven't really, I don't know, it's been so long since I've worked with women, like Christine and I, Christine's basically the first woman I've worked with, they don't even work together.
She's barely a woman, let's face it.
Oh, woman.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm just, is there something coming up that you regret saying?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I don't mind my workplace at all. So they're a little obnoxious sometimes, but I love all of them.
Right. Yeah. But there's really nothing they can say to you that will shock you or make you uncomfortable or anything like that.
No, they've broken my spirit.
Go over here and land fist.
She works with a guy, Rick Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very weird guy. I mean, I dig his show. I like him.
Oh, my God. I got to get out of here.
We got him to welcome you guys into the building. They moved over to the building, and we're like, well, we got to do
He's talking about the hugging thing. That's what
it is. Oh, this is, okay, so this is when we moved into the studio and the Marconi show, the folks, they came in and they... With
wow. Yeah. Very Howard Hughes-ish.
Yeah.
Hug this. Normally people ask if they can hug you.
You don't need to ask to hug you. That's why we're free.
I've been wrong about that.
I like to support local radio, and local radio done well on that show. And so we brought it over there, and I started hugging everybody in the studio. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. Going there.
Oh, yeah. Neither of them like to be touched.
And so I'm hugging these guys, and then I guess they talked about it like a day later or two, like that they felt very weird about me hugging them. But you didn't mind.
No, it wasn't you in general. Honestly, I haven't touched either of them in years.
I don't even want it from you.
Especially our news guy, Tim. Yeah, he does not like to be touched.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very Howard Hughes-ish.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
He actually had me come in the studio once just to hug Rick.
If anything, I would think that they would want to hug you. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, all the time. Tim and I just come in here every day and just trying to stalk Sarah for hugging. You know, even hearing him describe the time that they hugged me is freaking me out. It's kind of making me shift a little uncomfortably in my seat. Well, we have to break before we can. It's like 35. So we got to break, and we'll come back and we'll finish the rest of this. Because there's like, what, 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left? All right. We'll back after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues around the corner. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We'll finish up this Sarah on the Marconi Show thing here in a few. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when our guests will be no one. No, oh, I'm sorry. Alison Arngren will still be here, as far as we know.
And at least we still have the in-studio guests.
I suppose. Can't even get the replacement guest for Alice Cooper now.
Come on, you were not looking forward to that interview. It sounded like it would have been god-awful.
Well, I was looking forward to it until we heard that sound clip where he's like, and then my mother used to cover me in fire ants. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
This is Tim Riley.
Harris Hilton should be jailed.
for 45 days for violating transfer rule probation. That from the city prosecutors of Los Angeles.
Fantastic.
Wait, he's going to jail?
Well, he's asking.
That's what they want. They also want Hilton to stay away from alcohol for 90 days.
Yeah,
and wear a device that'll chart her whereabouts and make sure she complies. They also want to have her license suspended for an additional 4 months. How will she get around? She'll have to take the bus.
Like a commoner.
Mm-hmm. Then Justin Timberlake is signed on for his first ever solo concert special. His August 16th performance at New York's Madison Square Garden will be taped and aired Labor Day on HBO. And that's all I have. They can go back talking about the macaroni show.
Excellent. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of the world, who will return in a little over an hour. We'll be back at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. All right. So we'll... okay, well, we'll get these calls here in just a second. We've got to finish this bit. This is Sarah on the Marconi show yesterday. And so they're just interviews. So this is just the interview segment, right? Now, this is a recurring bit where they do... Do they do different people? Or is this just like a Sarah exclusive?
No, I think they do different people.
All right, so this is Sarah...
And the thing that I say, I don't know if anyone will even pick it out. It's not... It wasn't directed at...
There's something coming up in this interview, apparently, that you say you now regret saying.
Yes.
And it is... Would you like to make a disclaimer?
It's people specific.
It's not, I kind of... You painted with a broad brush.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It applies only to certain people.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
Do you hear them?
I think there's a fire alarm.
Is there a fire alarm?
Yeah.
Scotty, would you say there's a fire somewhere? Scotty, would you go investigate that that flickering...
Are we off the air?
Are we off the air?
Are you kidding me?
Come on. Really?
Well, it's making that sound.
All right. Would you turn it to the air monitor, please? All right.
Yeah. Wait. There's nothing there.
Well, let's leave it on. Wait.
Okay.
Let's leave it on the. Wait. Oh! I gotta find Proud Mary.
Just play a song. Yeah.
Hold on.
You want me to find Jeff?
Call his phone. He's at the transmitter. Yeah. Are we back on? Do we have any idea?
I don't hear anything.
On the air monitor, it does not appear that we are... All right.
Let's just talk like we are, though.
For the love of God.
No strings of profanity out of you, Rick Emerson.
All right. All right. Well,
I know how amusing you think that is with open mic.
All right.
Oh, wait. Aaron just wrote me and said you're on.
I know. I'm getting email.
Then is it just this? Okay.
I'm getting email now. All right. All right, I'm getting email now.
Maybe we should get this button figured out.
It says that we're still on the air. So, all right.
This is really weird.
All right, I'm unclear. Okay. Well, so we are on the air now. All right, so even though we forgot...
That's a good chunk of time.
All right, so I can go back to the Marconi thing?
Oh, man, I thought I was getting out of that.
Apparently, you've never been off the air.
Okay, well, as it says, we were not off the air, although just so everybody knows, here's what... here's what happened. So, we have an alarm that goes off here whenever the transmitter's in. And we apparently moved to the backup transmitter. And so that has caused the off-air alarm, which is this big thing. It sounds like a fire alarm to go off in the hallway. In fact, it's still off. It sounds like a fire alarm. Also, there is a little thing here called an air monitor, which means that we listen to, again, because we are on a 40-second delay. And so we talk, and then 40 seconds later, it hits the air. So there is a switch that lets us listen to what would come out of the radio instead of hearing ourselves, you know, as we are speaking. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. All circumstantial evidence indicated that we were off the air. So I went right to the Proud Mary. This is fantastic. So there you go. I'm not even sure that I have the Marconi thing again. I got to find it. Now I don't even know where it is. All right, is this my computer? Yeah, that's got to be my computer.
It is. Noise.
All right, well, so we got, how long until the music starts? Do I even have time to play this now?
We
have
5 minutes.
All right, hold on.
Oh, we don't have time, though.
No?
We can do something else.
No, now we got to. Now we got to. All right, so this is Sarah on the Marconi show yesterday.
I can't get anywhere near them.
They don't even want to.
All right, so this is you. You're making a broad statement here that you did not wish to apply to everybody. So this statement you're about to make on the Marconi show applies only to certain people.
Yes, not okay. Anyway, I didn't want to know it to the boy I'm currently dating.
All right.
If anything, I would think that they would want to hug you. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the Marconi
really?
Show.
Half a deal, maybe. No, it's like family over there now. You know, we know each other's ins and outs, and we've known each other for years. So.
Sure, you say that, but I mean, you know, these are guys, right? They have blood in them. They breathe. They're not robots.
I don't know.
You don't want to think of it like that. It creeps you out, but probably not them.
No, I think that.
They think of you as like their sister.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I can see the sister side, but that's the problem.
How that would go down all right. Side of the law.
My sister looks nothing like you.
Right. Okay.
Creepy.
Yeah. Oh.
Hugs all around?
No.
We don't touch each other. We don't even talk on the phone.
It's a radio show thing. We don't touch each other.
Right.
So, okay. So, in the workplace, the guys you work with mainly, but like...
I'm sure.
And plus, you're a public person, and people recognize you occasionally?
Yeah, occasionally. I get hit on sometimes.
Is that intimidating for guys to want to date you, or do you date a higher caliber of fella?
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Do you date a higher caliber of fella is the question. What do you think Sarah should say in response to this? Why, yes, I date a wide variety of men, most of them...
And I was so good throughout this entire thing, like, very diplomatic.
Do you date a higher caliber of fella that kind of stuff doesn't bother you, them?
I wouldn't say I date higher caliber guys.
The guy's like, okay, Friday night, you and me, we're going to go out, we're going to burn my sofa on a dirt road somewhere. Don't tell anybody, we're going to burn some furniture.
Like a fun time.
Okay. Get rid of some old mail, you know, some evidence. Like
yeah,
I think, I mean, is that something that would intrigue you?
Oh, yeah, I like to do anything that's interesting. Like, I went on a date a couple months ago. We went to a monster truck rally.
Nice!
It was hilarious. So we went and just drank a bunch of cheap beer and watched all these dudes with...
Is there anything good coming up?
No.
All right, there you go. So that's it. So basically, it was all to get to that one line where you slander every guy you ever dated with one broad brush.
Which is not true. I was just trying to be funny. And then I realized afterward, because I'm, you know, when you say things on the air sometimes and then you're thinking about it later, it's like, wait, that might have... Yeah. Misinterpreted.
Good times. All right, okay. So this guy says, why don't you just keep an effing radio in the studio so you know when you're off the air? It's a fair point. The irony is we can't actually get the signal. All right. Hey, Scotty, is the alarm still going off in the hallway?
Yes, it is.
Everybody loves us. Here's the other thing.
We're like zoo animals in here. People keep poking their heads and looking.
Well, here's the other thing. Did you tell Jeff that the alarm is going off?
He said, yes, is it still going off? And I said, it's been going off for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And he goes, well, you've never been off the air because you switched transmitters.
Okay. Well, people, and I know that because I got like 1,000 emails. Rick, for the love of holy crap, you are still on the air. Quit playing Proud Mary. Yeah, thank you, sir. Here's the best part. Remember how I was saying at the very, here's a little callback. Remember at the top of the program I was talking about DJs who feel compelled, to do their programs with the door open. This is when it becomes a problem because our alarm is going off out there, and so there are wacky DJs trying to do their radio program with the door open so that we can all hear them. And instead, now it is you who hears us.
To pay back.
Yeah, because now they're trying to do their zany program, their zany comedy with the door open. And instead, they're getting the shrieking AM 970 off air alarm down there. So there you go. All right. Well, how long till the music starts here? So the whole thing is throwing me off my game. All right. So, Scotty, let's wrap up for tomorrow. For tomorrow, we don't have Joe Pantoliano.
No.
We don't have Alice Cooper.
No.
Why did you do that?
That's just mean.
I wish it was an April Fool's joke.
Right,
I really
let's
do.
Really quickly, hi, Josh. Quickly, you're on the Rick Emerson
show. Quickly, yeah, hi. It's all coming together now. I didn't realize you were all such touch freaks, but at the listener party, I couldn't get a picture with you. I tried twice.
That's not true. I totally do pictures with people at the party.
But see, I don't have a light on my camera. I wasn't the guy in the bathroom, but I needed someplace a little brighter. But I will say really quickly, I had to hug Tim and Sarah both to fit them into my camera phone's range. Sarah was cool, very casual. I felt the stiffness of Tim when I touched him through my entire body.
I felt the stiffness of Tim. But I'm
thank you.
Bye now.
One last thing.
Quickly.
When I called in, I was still at work. Now I'm already home and very informed since I've been waiting.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Call back.
All right. There you go. The stiffness of Tim.
I felt the stiffness of Tim through my body.
It's like the Fountains of Wayne. The stiffness of Tim throughout my body. Bam! Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon for AM 970 Southern State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley at the Gatekeepers. Dave Zinn and our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Join us tomorrow. TV's Nellie Olson in the studio. And please, do try to help the retarded. You sons of bitches. Back tomorrow. Bye now.
Nothing?
Rolling on the river.